Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Rob and Akiva need a podcast, and they need your help. Can you make it onto the wheel? Rob and Akiva need a podcast. Yeah, they'll buy or sell your ideas. They'll talk about it till you've gotten your fill. Every weekend, better ahead. You can guess what will be coming up next. Rob and Akiva need a podcast.
Yes, that's right. Rob and Akiva need a podcast, episode number 109. Yes, and we are going to choose your Renap venture here after a nail biter of a wheel spin last time out. Now, here is the man who we are all thankful for this week. Here is Uncle Kiwi, Akiva Winokur. Akiva, how are you?
Oh, it's great. Yeah, I spent my whole week calculating what this episode would be, and finally we figured it out on, like, Thursday.
Yeah, it was a real nail-biter of the wheel spin, and it involved calls to our ombudsperson. It sounds like a conversation with the Supreme Court to ultimately get us here to choose your own Renap venture, Akiva.
Yeah, that's right. We went to Aisha, we went to the Supreme Court, we decided what the poll would be. But then the listeners, a lot of people thought maybe we'd go in one direction and the listeners wanted chaos. But the listeners acted not just in plurality, but in the majority. They wanted to hear Mike and Liana come on and have us choose our own Renap venture.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's what we're here to do today. Last time out, we spiced up our lives talking about all things Spice Girls. I had a lot of fun last week.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. With our experts. I do like when people are really passionate about something, usually, you know, comes out in shows. So hopefully Mike and Leon are extremely passionate about choose your own adventure stories.
I think so. I've listened to the B&B, but let's find out, because let's bring in the two people who have put together everything that we are going to be talking about today. Of course, you can hear them many months out of the year talking about Survivor and Big Brother as the co-hosts of the RHAP B&B. Here are Mike and Liana. How are you?
Good. I think that the way that this episode was chosen was very appropriate. It was essentially a choose your own adventure to choose your own adventure. And I think that, you know, we're happy to be here and we're happy to have been the people's choice.
Yeah, sort of. I mean, to Liana's point, it was a bit choose your own adventure, but it was almost like choose your own adventure where, like, the thumb was on a scale where I believe choose your own adventure was brought up, like, roughly 4 out of the maybe 9 times you spun the wheel. So, like, truly, the Renap gods have put this in place. I've actually gone back and reviewed, like, my previous appearances on Renap, and I have unintentionally become, like, the lord of the people's choice, because I think last time I was on here, we did the ops, stands versus ops, which I believe was a people's choice. When we were on here a year ago doing game night 1, I believe that was also a people's choice. So
what a flex by Mike Bloom.
Listen, I know that people are...
He did research and it's like his research, you know what it determined, Rob? People always want him the next week.
I'm definitely jinxing myself in saying that. But I do, you know, people are saying, like, let's abolish people's choice after that. But I'm like, self-servingly, I'm saying keeping it coming. You know,
should we refer to Mike as People's Choice Award winner Mike Bloom?
That's right. 3-time People's Choice Award winner Mike Bloom.
Listen, I'll put PCA as my, you know, Liana's a PhD, I'm a PCA.
Yes.
Quite an accolade.
Liana, did you get the 5-timer's hat from Uncle Kiwi?
Yeah, I have it. It's right there.
Oh, it's up there.
You can't see it, but...
Oh, yeah, it's right out of frame, of course.
Yeah. Definitely not hidden in a box under my bed.
I also did notice that, you know, Akiva, you said you did a lot of calculation. You did a lot of meticulous work. One website you did not navigate to in the past week, I noticed, cameo.com, to look at something that you owe Liana and I from a few times back.
We forgot. We needed a reminder this week. We owe you a cameo. This episode, actually, the origins of this episode, Rob, are really almost 18 months in the making, because I lost a bet. I went on a Survivor preview podcast with the great Ali Lasher. And we had a bet, and it was me and Allie against we're the A's, and we against the B's, Liana, Boris, and Mike Bloom, and whoever won the bet got, I think if we won, we got to host their show for a week, and if they won, Rob, by the way, had no authority over this bet. It just happened on his network. He did not know about it.
I think it's the pre-Cats debacle of what is one co-host allowed to do while the other one doesn't know.
I think it now would be illegal, but back then, and so they won the bet, and then and they got to put any idea they wanted on the wheel. They had power nobody's ever had before, and they chose Choose Your Own Adventure, and I don't know how it took 18 months, but here we are.
Well, Choose Your Own Adventure was something in the early days of Rob and Akiva Need a Podcast that we talked about a lot. Like, I feel like that Antonio Mazzaro was somehow attached to this idea, where we were going to get a Choose Your Own Adventure book off of Amazon.
Yes.
And then we were going to just read the book and then follow where the book went, but we couldn't find one that was like sufficiently wacky enough that we wanted to do.
Well,
okay. So Mike and Leanna, did you guys create your own, or is this based off of a Scholastic book?
So we spent a decent amount of time looking for one that fit the wacky bill. Did it have the appropriate amount of wacky for Renap? And we think that we found some titles that really fit that. And so we're going to provide some options for you guys to pick which title you'd like to dig into. Wow. And then we will choose your own adventure.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
Now, Liana, do these books mean something special to you?
So I grew up reading Choose Your Own Adventure books. I remember my dad and I were like, we're both engineers. We're both very detail oriented. We would like map out the Choose Your Own Adventure as we'd figure out what percentage end in death. It's a very high percentage typically. And so these particular titles are ones that a few of them I'm familiar with, but others are just so wacky. We couldn't help but include them.
And Mike, were these a big part of your childhood?
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, I am a child of the generation of the Scholastic Book Fair, which, for those that might not be aware, was, you know, a time when in our school library, Scholastic would come around and schlep out a bunch of books. And Choose Your Own Adventure is a series that spanned decades. I think my research said it went from like 1979 to about the mid-90s or so. So there was a lot of a backlog to invest in. But like this whole idea of essentially, instead of a linear story, you sort of choosing branching paths has manifested itself in so many different ways. Like, you even look at video games like Mass Effect or games produced by Telltale, or more recently, I guess the whole Choose Your Own Adventure format has really come to prominence with Bandersnatch, that Black Mirror movie from a couple of years ago, where you got to select the option of which you went bound by. So like, even though I think the CYOA series is DOA at the moment, I think that the format has sort of lived on through various mediums.
I think DOA is not fair, but as I feel like it was, you know, it died after a very long and
healthy
life.
Yeah, DOA is, like, how long do you have to live for the A to still be there? Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, DOA is like, like one book came. Yeah, if there's a sequel to a movie, it's not, the franchise wasn't DOA, you know?
Yeah. Dead well after arrival.
It just did, yeah. It's DWO. Dead well after arrival.
That's really, that's the Mortician logo, right? Like, oh, we got a real D back there.
Absolutely.
That D is for Dara, the mortician. Akiva, so only Mike laughs at that. That Akiva, does Maris spend a lot of your plenty of money on book fairs for your children?
I think book fairs have come and gone a little bit. My kids don't really bring home a lot of Scholastic books. I don't know. Maybe your kids do, but maybe it's just a geographical thing. But I don't know. My kids don't really have a lot of like, here's a book, bring it home. But I was definitely a big fan of that when I was a kid. There's always like that stuff in the back that was like way more expensive than everything else. Mm-hmm. It was like $50 and you got like a whole set of, I don't know, the Boxcar Children books or something.
Yeah, I feel like that, if I recall, like you get like the little like newspaper like circular, and I feel like that I would have to like beg my parents to get anything. And I feel like that Nicole is feels like something like, well, we have to buy stuff. And it's like, mm-hmm. Oh, here's $80 worth of books that my kids are never going to open or rip up. And we just that I get more books here.
Yeah,
if you think that it's really one of the great scams in the history of the world that Scholastic has gotten free unless they're paying for it. Scholastic has gotten free advertising in every classroom in the country for decades. Yeah. And like the kids are like, every parent's like, well, I'm a bad parent if I don't buy your, you know, if I don't buy your stuff. It doesn't make any sense. And maybe it's gone by now. I don't know.
No, I was going to say that does beg the question. I guess, Rob, I mean, you and Akiva can both speak on behalf of this as to whether this is still a thing, especially in the age of like burgeoning technology where like paper books are sort of on the way out. There may be DOA. I'm not sure, you know, if Scholastic Book Fair is still becoming a thing.
Wait, hold on. We have to go back to the DOA. Books had a long enough run that they're not A.
They're also, it's just D, Mike.
Books had a crazy
run. One of the great runs in the history of the world.
Wow, that's great. Dead fine, printing press.
Yeah,
oh my God.
The arrival happened so long ago.
I don't know. I think it's Big Book Fair. The lobbyists over there just pushing big books.
Yeah. So I don't think that there is like the fair going on. Certainly not in 2020, but definitely that circular of like printed on newspaper is still somehow getting around.
Can I ask a question? Also, I had a discussion with someone this week. I guess we could take a poll here of the four of us. Someone said that science
blind
fairs.
Item.
Yeah, blind item. Someone said that science fairs. It was NGOG. Someone said that science fairs are really more of a TV thing, and they never had a science fair their whole life growing up. And I feel like I had one. Did you have in school, like in the gymnasium or something, science fair that you had to do a project on growing up, Rob?
Yes. I can
remember what project.
I can think of two. I believe that I don't know if this was science fair or what, but I've not thought about this in quite some time. I think I made like a Play-Doh bust of JFK's head to
science.
I think it was I was like trying to like here's where the bullet points were.
Rob, how old are you?
Oh my God.
I feel like I was in seventh grade.
Here's
the
Zapruder film.
Yeah.
You're like, let me, this Zapruder guy hasn't gotten deep enough.
I don't know if this was assigned to me or what. I haven't thought about this ever since.
Were you a big JFK guy?
No, not really.
That's like very specific.
I think that maybe the movie was popular at that time.
The works of Oliver Stone really hit a young rough.
You know what it might have been? I might have seen the boyfriend episode of Seinfeld. I think that might have been sort of like the impetus.
Yeah, that
I
tracks in terms of when it happened.
This is something that gets you immediately sent to the guidance counselor, though, right? Of like, take a bust of JFK's apartment.
Like any other school project I've ever done, it was very half-assed where it was not like where I was like really doing a lot of research on it. And I do remember there being like some kid had made like a potato clock. I think maybe I made like a solar system.
This is to answer the spectrum of science. Yeah.
It sounds like yours with the history project.
Ballistics of JFK.
Well, one was elementary school. There was like kids made science experiments. So I do recall this.
Liana, you're from science. Did you do a science fair project?
I am. Yeah. I remember a science fair with like the three foldable board thing that set up. Yeah. I measured. I think no busts were harmed in my science project. I did the like the wind speed of our leaf blower or something like that.
Natural enemy of the podcaster.
Yes, exactly. Fighting from an early age. But yeah, we definitely did science fairs.
Mike.
Yeah, so I actually did a really fun science project in fifth grade of tracking the murders of John Wayne Gacy as to whether demographics really lined up. We had like science fair, but it's in very loose quotations because we never had like the outright gathering in a gymnasium. It was more like, you know, create those three-piece poster boards as Liana was talking about, and they would like You know how classrooms would like display projects in the hallway outside of the classroom?
Yeah.
For the school to do. That's essentially what they did. So it was almost like segmented to specific classrooms, but everyone kind of participated in it simultaneously.
By the way, like the most nerve-wracking day on the bus, Rob, was like you have to take that big poster, like your diorama, and like the bigger kids are probably like throwing gum at it or something. I don't know. You're like trying to get it to school in one piece.
Yeah, bullies hate science projects.
Bullies hate science projects. And the famous one is the volcano, right? That's like the one that always
the
wins.
Baking the baking soda volcano,
fair.
Yeah.
The baking soda volcano is
but
the
famous. But there's also like the one that I always remember, year in and year out, there was always going to be which paper towel is the strongest one, where it's like, oh, you would wet the paper towel and you would attach like a string with a bucket of pennies to it, and however many pennies it would hold was the
That's
one.
That's one hell of a strong paper towel. Lift up a bucket of pennies.
Listen, I don't even think you could hold a bucket, like let alone one filled with pennies.
It's the very low range of things, 0 to 2 pennies.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So how do we get this adventure started?
Okay. So I think we should probably present the titles.
Yeah. We'll see how many we get in here because we have four options for you to choose between. And I think just let's sort of judge the books by their covers here. You guys can choose the ones that you want to do, and we'll see however many, you know, we take care of here.
And Akiva, this is very exciting because we don't often choose adventure.
What do we choose sometimes?
I think we often choose not adventure.
Okay. Yeah. So I guess
adventure.
Yeah. I mean, I think at any point, I think we could.
Oh, you mean in our real life? Yeah, I thought you meant our Renette. The two of us. That's correct. The two of us choose whatever the opposite of adventure. We choose like. Yeah, so the path of like least excitement usually. That is true.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, does this or in the choose your adventure? I assume we're gonna have to leave our hypothetical homes here, probably.
Yeah, I don't think there's really gonna be like an agoraphobic version of choose your own adventure where
not
it's like if you want to walk to the bathroom, turn to page 3.
I mean, if you have a cable system and you have all the movie channels and something, and you're just sitting on the couch for the day. That is its own version of choose your own adventure. There's like 100 movies and 20 games on. Every time you turn on the You do one, if you have like 2000 channels, you have like Comcast. By the time you're done flipping up to like 1942 channel, you're getting back to two. That's a whole half hour gone. That's an adventure in and of itself.
Is the 1942 channel like all, is like the,
no,
the
that's just
history
the highest channel?
Channel.
Oh, okay. No, that's like the Comcast channel. You know, that's like
the
channel.
Oh, you're talking about the actual channel number, not
I don't know why. I feel like my parents' Verizon goes up to like 19 something and then it goes back to two.
Yeah,
because there's a while with the advent of HD where it was like, you know, 02 was CBS and then like 1002 was CBS HD.
This Absolutely. Is my favorite Renap content. I love
my parents' house is 502. It's Fios is 502 CBS.
My mom has that too. Yeah.
All right. Should we just guess? Should we just do all the channels and say what they are? And that's the podcast.
ESPN
HD 570.
I think could do like a TV. Yeah. But screw reading the phone book. I want you to read the TV guide.
HBO HD is, I think, 801 or something.
Yeah, but what's the SD version?
HBO, I don't know. Like three, I don't know. That's a good question. I haven't been home in a while.
All right, well, before we lose the plot too much, let's get to these four plots here. So we're going to read four titles to you guys. And again, we'll sort of, depending on how far we get into each of these, we'll do multiple ones of these. But here are your four options that you can pursue. Number one is called You Are a Shark.
Okay.
Number two is called Space Vampire. Number three is called Vampire Express. And number four is called Inside UFO 5440, which I believe is the Cooking Channel HD in the Comcast lineup.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, the headlines are, Rob, are Shark, Vampire, UFO, and Space.
And space vampire.
I think it's vampire twice. Yeah,
there's space. But yeah, there's space. There's vampire, and then there's also space vampire.
There's space vampire.
Well, have we ever explored this? What are your feelings on vampires?
I'm not a huge vampire guy. I was never like, oh no, there's like Dracula in my closet. I was never worried about that.
Yeah,
but I was sort of neutral on vampires. I nothinged vampires growing up. What about you?
Yeah, not really a big vampire guy either in the, you know, Interview with a Vampire era or the Twilight True Blood era. Neither one really spoke to me.
Yeah, I didn't watch any of those shows. I don't think I've ever really watched a lot of vampire content. I don't know. But so there's a space vampire also. I don't know why anyone would pick the regular vampire if there's a space vampire.
Well,
also,
Vampire
right?
Express is vampire on a train.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I like trains. Is it the LIRR?
I don't think so. Is it
okay?
Is it an MTA train?
I like sharks. I'm not afraid of sharks. What about you? Are you afraid of sharks?
Not particularly. The one that speaks to me the most is UFO, but yeah. I don't know if that's going to be too spooky.
I don't think it should be that spooky. Yeah, I agree. The UFA is the winner to me, I think. There's no vampires, and I don't mind sharks, but I feel like it's going to end with us getting eaten by sharks, and then I'm going to have a nightmare tonight.
Well, you are a shark. Yeah.
Oh, we are a shark. Ooh. I never thought about what would happen if I was a shark. I do like that. UFO would speak to me more, I think, Rob.
Oh, I mean, and this is perfect. This is for you to really, I think, face your denialism of UFOs. Yeah. You're literally on one right now.
True.
Well, I think it's good because, you know, that we've talked about before, Akiva doesn't believe in aliens. Mm-hmm. And I also have one of my childhood fears was being abducted by aliens. So I think that it speaks to both of us.
Immersion therapy.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
People got very mad after I said I don't believe in aliens. Everyone was like, this is one of your worst takes ever. You're wrong. You're stupid. But I don't know. I don't think if I meet an alien, I'll believe in them. But until then, sorry. No.
No, you don't want any of that, Akiva.
Right now, I would like to be taken away by aliens, I think. This would have been a good year to be abducted, I think.
They don't take you away. They just experiment on you, and then they put you back.
You're going to be in some fifth grade alien science project with the three poster boards.
Yeah, this is how Glactor 4 got assassinated.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, yeah, I mean, you're going to be meeting some aliens here because we are going inside UFO 5440. Here's a little briefing that was on the first page here. While you are on board UFO 5440, you may hear about Ultima, the planet of paradise, and you may wonder if one of your adventures will lead you there. Sad to say, many never reach Ultima, because no one can get there by making choices or following instructions. There is a way to reach Ultima. Maybe you'll find it. So this is the goal of today. And I think the way that we're going to do this is one of us is going to read sort of the narration. And also, this is told from a second person perspective. So like your narration / your dialogue will be said by one of us. The other one of us will be playing all the other characters. And then when it reaches a juncture point, you guys can discuss what you want to do. Mm-hmm. If you do need a tiebreaker, I think Leon and I can sort of serve as the third party there as well. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, these are your decisions to make as to whether or not you get to Ultima.
Couple of questions. So do you two both have a copy of the identical texts, or are these available online somewhere?
They're available online. Okay. So, yes, we have the text. It is in digital format.
Okay. Second question. If we die, is the podcast over?
Good question.
Yeah, we do not come in with like the fatalism that comes with like an Oregon Trail. I think depending on how far something goes, like if we get into this and it's like you step outside and a safe falls on you, I think we can sort of do what we all did back then, which is cheat a little bit. Like, oh, my thumb was still on the page. Let me flip back and move forward.
Yeah, do we get maybe like we get a veto or something?
I think you guys can get like a cumulative veto of like, if you guys feel like, okay, I want to go back and do the other thing, I think you have the one ability to rewind time per book here.
Maybe we should get three strikes and then we have to do You Are a Shark.
I like that rule.
Okay. Let's see how it goes. Okay. All right. What's the name of this title again?
Inside UFO 5440. Again, the cooking channel.
All right. Leona, you have the much more placid voice than me. Do you want to do the reading?
Yes. Yes. Okay. So I shall be the narrator. All right. So let's dig in to Inside UFO 5440.
And also, guys, feel free to interrupt at whatever times you want to comment on what is surely only going to be some very absurd text as we're going through here.
Got it. Mm-hmm. What is the target demo for Inside UFO 5440?
The kids at the Scholastic Book Fair.
But is that like, sixth grade?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what the age range is for these. I do feel like they were sort of aimed. I mean, this was in the 70s to 90s, which, like, you know, this is sort of a latchkey generation. It was more about, like, it was less about really parental guidance with this type of stuff. So I would not be surprised if, even though it's meant for the middle school generation, it's more of like the Rob Cesarino version of middle school, which is more so maybe more graphic and explicit than you might experience.
Nobody's ever described my middle school experience as that.
5440, the Jewish year, 5440 was in 1679.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
What do you think was happening then?
Pro- probably not a lot of UFOs. But
what channel
know.
Is that? Mm-hmm.
All right. Okay. Let's get this show on the road. Okay. So it is your first trip on the Concorde, the supersonic jet airliner that crosses the Atlantic in 3 hours and 45 minutes.
Wow.
So that dates this book. Okay. Yeah. Right now, you're at 57,000 feet in mid-flight from New York to Paris. You look up from the magazine you've been reading as a voice comes over the loudspeaker.
This is Captain Ravel speaking. We're about halfway across the Atlantic now at latitude 54, longitude 40. We've just come onto a new course that'll bring us over the coast of France in about 90 minutes. Those of you on the left side of the plane may be able to see the southern tip of Greenland.
You glance out of the window, hoping to see Greenland. Instead, you see a gleaming white cylinder, several times larger than the Concorde, but without wings, engines, or ports. The object, glistening in the early morning sunlight, is coming straight at you.
I think that's you.
Look! The white-haired man sitting next to you leans towards the window to get a better view.
At what?
Don't you see it? It's right at us. He opens his mouth to answer, but says nothing because you are no longer there. Okay, so apparently now we just go to page 6. So there was no option for you to choose. Sorry.
Okay.
All right. So
what happened? Did we get beamed off of the Concorde?
I think so.
Akiva, why were we going to France?
I don't know. That wasn't clear. And what age listener and under do you think has no idea what the Concorde was?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, how many TikToks is 3 hours and 45 minutes? Yeah.
Liana, do you remember the Concorde even?
Yeah, I remember the Concorde.
Okay, so I think like probably 25 and under doesn't remember the Concorde. That's my guess.
I'm telling you, put it on the census.
Okay. Why did they stop doing it? Was it too expensive?
I think it was too expensive.
I think it was too expensive and there just wasn't enough demand. It does sound like this amazing idea. Like, we always complain, like, why can't air travel, why hasn't it gone any faster in the last 50 years? But then it did and everyone was like, meh. I'd rather sit on a plane for 7 hours.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Doesn't make any sense.
They're charging.
Like, you think like really rich people would have like super speedy airplanes, right? Nowadays.
Right. You're the higher net worth, the faster your jet.
Sure. Like, Jeff Bezos should be able to get to England in 2 hours. That's crazy.
Jeff Bezos should have like personal transporters by now.
He might. That's not a bad point. He might. Mm-hmm.
All right,
so $10.25 an hour. All right, keep going.
Let's see what happens. So you are sitting on a thick, rubbery mat in a circular room. The room is bathed in a pale white light, yet you see no windows or doors or lamps. You remember now, sitting in the Concorde, .. the huge white object coming at you, the plane shuddering, and where are you? The pale light turns violet and mixing with orange and reds as it brightens, as if the sun were about to rise, a voice is speaking, except it is not speaking. You are hearing its thoughts entering directly into your brain.
Oh, should I do this one? Okay. We are the UTY Masters. You are on the galactic ship Rachma, orbiting the planet Earth. You have been chosen to be a specimen in the galactic zoo on the imperial planet of Ra. If you refuse to cooperate, you will be sent to SOMO. You may make one statement.
Okay, so you have two options. If you demand to be, you can demand to be returned to Earth, or if you want to know more about the UTY, that is also an option.
Is that pronounced UDY?
It's
I thought he said UTI.
You
no, not UTI.
Okay. Okay, I was confused.
That'd be the really, you know, most mind-blowing conspiracy is if alien parties were responsible for UTIs.
Well, you know, depending on what they're probing, you know, that could be a result. They're not careful.
Cranberries. Yeah. Okay.
Yes. Okay. Akiva, what do you think?
Where do you want to go?
So I think that would be bringing in some, you know, big Karen energy to demand to speak to the manager. I think that we want to slow play this and try to befriend them and find out more. Because if we act like we're interested in them, they might maybe, you know, take some pity on us.
It's true. And I think that's how it would be in real life. We'd be like, oh, well, I guess we're in the space zoo now.
Yes. I can't see myself like really, putting up a fight to the aliens.
I want to speak to your space manager.
Right.
And then someone's going to be filming you and you're going to get blown up on space Twitter, and then you won't be really employable again in the galaxy.
Right, right. So let's try to reason with it. Let's hear a little bit more about them.
Okay, so we want to learn more. All right. So tell me more about yourselves, you say. Why did you choose to visit Earth?
We study Earth people as your scientists study bacteria under a microscope. We came to Earth in search of ultimate planet of paradise.
So you can either offer to help the UTY masters find Ultima, or you can ask the UTY how they think they could reach Ultima by visiting Earth.
So you can either like help them or just really throw shade at them by being like, why did you think Greenland was going to help you?
So, Akiva, do you have a strong feeling on this?
I don't.
Yeah.
I'll let you pick.
I think that to sort of like imply that we like could, help them is like, what could we bring to the table? But I think that maybe we want to like keep asking questions really, that's interesting. Why did you think that you could find your planet of Ultima by visiting us?
Yeah. I also think that they are going to realize pretty soon that they picked the wrong two people. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, we're not going to be especially useful to the aliens. What are they?
Yeah.
They're going to be like, hey, like, oh, I see you have these things called shoes. How do they work, Eva? I'm like, I don't know.
But like that, like,
well, what are we going to be able to help them with?
Yeah.
Make a podcast?
No, you don't understand, Glaxor. We spin a wheel in which every week there's a ping pong balls in a jar that we fish out of.
Akiva, you don't think like you can explain how shoes work to the UTY?
I think we're not going to be particularly useful for them.
Yeah.
You know,
I think this is just like a hostage negotiation. We just want to keep them on the phone for as long as possible.
I agree.
Yeah.
Mm, okay. So, so you're going to ask them how they think they could reach Ultima by visiting Earth. Okay. How could you find Ultima by visiting Earth, you ask? The moment you speak, sparks fly about your head, buzzing like angry bees. You dive to the floor and cover your face with your arms. The sparks die down, except for a glowing ember that lands near your feet. It flares for a few seconds, then turns gray, then black. Cautiously, you touch it and then pick it up. It's like a tiny, smooth pebble you might find on the beach, yet it's denser than lead.
You will cooperate.
The voice is speaking again. Trying to gather your wits, you answer, I am a human being, please. The lights flicker. The ship is descending so fast, you're pinned to the floor.
You are unsuitable. We shall return you to Earth. Your memory will be erased. You will never know that you have been in space.
Okay, so you remember in your room at home feeling strange. What's happened? You remember having boarded the Concorde bound for France, sitting in a seat next to a white-haired man. Then, reaching into your pocket, you pull out a pebble about the size and shape of a watermelon seed. Why is it so heavy? You turn it over and over in your hand and then toss it into the wastebasket. It's just a matter of luck whether it lands in the wastebasket or not. You have about a 50-50 chance. Does it go in or not?
So you have, they just gave you two page numbers. You're not making it. I guess you have to choose which page number you want to go to, but it's not saying whether or not the water.
What are the numbers?
Well, it's page number 41 or page number 50. Does that help make your decision?
41 or 50, luck? Akiva.
50 is a number of my favorite basketball player, David Robinson.
Yeah, and that would be very pertinent in this case when you're trying to shoot this pebble into a waste paper basket.
41 is Tom Seaver.
That's true. All right, fine. In honor of the late, great Tom Seaver, we'll go 41.
Okay, 41. You miss the waste basket, and the object bangs against the wall. As you reach to pick it up, it leaps out of your hand and buzzes around your head like an angry bee. Then, while you stand dumbfounded, the object spins through your bedroom window, leaving only a tiny hole in the glass. You touch the hole. It feels as smooth as the rim of a drinking glass.
Ooh.
Suddenly, you remember the sparks flying above your head.
Yes.
You were on a UFO. You rush towards the door to tell whomever is home, then stop short and think for a minute. Your whole adventure might as well have been a dream, for who will believe it? The end.
Wow. Okay. That was
a terrible ending.
Yeah. Neither here nor there.
Huh. Yeah. All this right. was sort of like, maybe it was a dream the whole time.
All right.
Yeah. Boy, because that's a relatively happy ending for a choose your own adventure story.
Yeah. No nightmares, at least.
Well, so
yeah.
That being said, I do think you can exercise the right, if you so choose, as to if you want to use a veto to go back to a certain decision point, or if you want to move on to another story, I think we can do that.
What do you think?
Should we try out the sharks? I think we should maybe play with the sharks.
Let's try the shark. Because okay. I feel like that the aliens, there's no predicting what's going on. It's just going to be all... You know,
what was worst case scenario with the aliens? Do you know? Were they going to kill us?
I believe there was. So this is part of the reason why we sort of corroborate these lists is from there's been some lists online of like the weirdest, most out there choose your own adventure books. And I believe that was one of the hardest ones to like solve. Because again, the happy ending is like landing on that planet of Ultima. If you don't like, you have to cheat, I think, actually. It's like very much like the Kobayashi Maru. You have to actually like find your way to a page that doesn't have a path leading to it to win. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it's like you get your head cut off, you're part of the alien zoo, you wind up on the wrong planet. I don't know, like your mom turns out to be an alien. There's like all these different things that can go wrong.
All right. Let's talk about the you are a shark.
All right. You are a shark. All right. So you have to think. Okay. Think carefully before you move because the animal kingdom is alive with dangers. Your choices will affect whether you live or die, return to human existence, or be trapped as an animal forever.
Oh, we didn't start. We started as a person.
So you're starting as a person. Okay. So it's late summer. All right. Mm-hmm. You've been hiking in the remote mountains of Nepal. I love Shark Week. It's my favorite week. You've been hiking in the remote mountains of Nepal when you come across the ruins of an ancient temple. Vines have grown over the wide steps that lead to the entrance. The temple is faced with stone carvings of animals, all worn and crumbling except for one fierce creature, an enormous lion with the wings of a dragon. Its huge jaws threaten to devour anyone who dares to pass. As you climb the steps, you sense danger. You step forward and stare at a lifeless monster towering above you. It seems to be warning you not to pass. Summoning your courage, you continue past the statue in the dark, cavernous temple. You can barely see anything, only a glimmer of gold in the center of the chamber, and beside it, a frail-looking man in a simple monk's robe.
Oh.
As you start towards him, your legs grow weak. You sink into the temple floor. You try to stand, but you can't. The strength is being drained from your body. You can't even lift your hand. You call out to the monk, but he neither moves nor speaks. You feel your life slowly slipping away. Not a great start. Are you still alive? You are lying on the stone floor of the temple. The monk sits motionless behind you. You try to sit up, but you can't. You feel as if you were in a trance. Perhaps you are dreaming. If so, it is unlike any dream you've ever had before. Maybe you are dead. As if reading your mind, the monk says,
"You are not dead. Neither are you alive."
"How can that be?" you murmur, unable to move.
"You have fallen into the shadow of death," he answers. "It is forbidden to enter this temple. Those who do not heed the warning of the guardian must give up their lives."
You feel the chill of death hovering above you as you struggle to remain conscious. "But I didn't know," you say.
"You knew better than to enter,"
replies the monk.
"The guardian told you quite clearly."
"You mean the statue? I thought that was my imagination."
"The guardian is real,"
the monk says gravely.
"Though not part of the world you know. Unless it chooses to release you, you'll remain in its power forever."
"Remain where?" you say, trying hard to make sense of this all. "If I'm in its power, what's going to happen to me?" For the first time, the monk looks away from you.
"You must now give up your human life,"
he answers.
"However, you will then be given a chance to live in animal form."
Your skin grows cold, then colder still. You shiver violently. To be turned into an animal? You can't let yourself believe this. Who is this monk anyway? Maybe he's making it all up. But before you can even question him, the monk continues.
"I serve the guardian of the temple. Though I will do my best to help you, I may not interfere with its powers. You must first be one animal, then another, and sometimes the same one again. Time may seem to go in circles. You may remember your human existence or forget it in an instant.
But what if I die as an animal? The monk shakes his head.
If you die as an animal, you die as an animal. What is important is that you live as one. For now, it is the only way you can live.
Yep. The monk moves closer to you as he speaks.
Akiva, didn't we see this happen to Rob Schneider once?
Oh, no.
It's true.
You may
this
be
book
any
is old. Hopefully it doesn't get us canceled, this book.
Yeah.
You may
this
be
is
any
more like a Roy Schneider.
Yeah. I can't wait for Colleen Haskell to come out during one of these options. If you romance a survivor star. Okay. So the monk says, you may be any animal in creation anywhere on earth. You will retain some control over your fate. Whether it will be enough to save you, I cannot say.
You try to speak, but the monk raises his hand, and a wave of darkness sweeps over you. When you next hear his voice, it sounds very far away.
Would you be lord of the air, lord of the land, or lord of the sea?
All right, so you guys have three options. You can be lord of the air, lord of the land, or lord of the sea.
Yeah. Boy.
Well, I think we came in to be a shark. No, I think that's what our plan was, wasn't it?
Yeah, but do you want to be so on the nose? Do you think we'll die if we don't pick? If we pick Lord of the Air?
Do you think this is a trick title?
I've never like we're already on the land. I feel like we have plenty of land experience. We should try something new here, right?
I guess so, but I feel like you're just playing into the author's hands by selecting C right off the bat. I mean, are you a shark or a sheep?
First of all, I don't know about you. I'm very fed up with this monk. I thought he was a little bit, he gave us a little bit of lip.
Yeah, yeah.
Which animal do you think is most likely to, like, kill the monk? Like, if we could eat the monk as a shark, I would do the monk.
I would say the animal on the land.
Yeah, we probably won't encounter the monk too often if we're in the ocean. That's true.
Yeah.
But I'm very anti this monk. I'm not happy with him right now.
Yeah. All right. You want to do the land?
We could do the land. I have no interest in being a bird.
Birds.
But I have the least interest in being a bird. Like, that is not interesting to me at all.
Not at all.
You could be a bat.
I'm pooping on people. Like, well, what does a bird do that's so exciting?
You get to fly. I think that's probably the big selling point.
But then, according to you, get all sweaty after you fly.
Yeah, it's probably cool to be a bird for a day, and then it's like, oh, I could fly. Great. Like, what, you know, like, it's...
I mean, Akiva's got his couch anyway, so...
Yeah. You have no home if you're... Birds have no home, you know?
I believe they have a nest.
Well, they have a nest, but they could be flying... They could be flying all over the world. They don't have a nest everywhere, you know what I mean?
Yeah, they got nests.
I guess they migrate. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, their birds are like old people who go to Florida in the winter. Like,
they do wake up early like old people.
Birds wake up early?
Yes.
Yeah.
How many hours a day do birds sleep? You know how many hours a day
birds sleep? I don't think they sleep a lot. Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't think that birds slept.
I guess they have to sit up on that perch. So you can't do that while sleeping.
Oh, yeah. So that's why you have to sort of like put a blanket over a parrot's cage, right, to get it to sleep to trick it that it's nighttime.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Let's do the land.
All right. Let me also point out that technically...
Birds sleep 12 to 13 hours a night.
Okay.
Then how does the early bird get the worm then? That doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, they go to bed early.
They go to bed early.
So they're sleeping from like 5 p.m. to 5 a.m.?
They eat an early dinner. That's the early bird. And then they go to bed.
That's called the early bird special because birds eat dinner at 4 p.m.
Theoretically, the older you get, the more your body clock becomes like a bird's. It makes so much sense now.
And then you can fly south for the winter.
All right, now I know more about birds than I've ever known before. All right,
let me also clarify that actually, in this instance, in coming to the temple, you are technically DOA because you died upon getting there.
Yes, that is true. You finally used that correctly. wait, Rob, what bird, what animal are we rooting for in terms of land animals? What do we want to be?
I think a monkey would be good.
Monkey would be good. There's also a chance we'd get like a monkey and the monk. I don't know. Maybe we'd get to meet with that guy. We'd take him out.
Pony Shalhoub?
What animal do you not want to be?
An insect.
Are insects animals even?
Don't do this again.
Oh, no.
All right. I think like a sheep. I don't know. I don't want to be a sheep, really.
Yeah. Well, why would you want to be a sheep? What's compelling about being a sheep?
Nothing. That's why I hope we're not sheep. Oh. All right. So we're rooting for a monkey, but we're being land animals. That's our final decision.
Okay. All right. Lord of the land it is. Mm-hmm. Okay. You know instantly what you have become because you can see your big trunk waving in front of you.
Chester, shout out. Number one ranked animal of all time.
That's right.
You feel your stringy tail whirling back and forth, shooing away flies. You look around at the other elephants walking back from the acacia trees.
Nice.
However you say that. Okay. Moving your massive body with ease, you sway slowly through the groves, stopping only briefly to try to sort, to try one sort of vegetable or another. In your curiosity, you wander a little way from the herd and soon find yourself at the edge of the savanna. Only a dozen yards from you are two full-grown lions. They turn their massive heads and stare at you with piercing green eyes. With the lingering traces of your human memory, or is it the memory of a vulnerable baby elephant? You feel a momentary sense of fright. Without thinking about it, you trumpet loudly, stamping the ground with your front foot. The lions spring away from you, running like frightened rabbits. You remember now that with one tap of your foot, you could break their backs. You head back towards the herd. The others have stopped grazing and are walking single file across the savanna. Where are they going, you wonder? So you can decide to rejoin the herd or explore the savanna on your own.
What do you think, Akiva?
First of all, I'm excited to be an elephant. I think that was pretty, you know, one of the better options in terms of
best
being an
case
animal.
Scenario. Sure.
Yeah, on the scale of, just I guess, in monkey general, to sheep, I think yeah. It's pretty.
Well, to insect, monkey to insect, I think was the lowest animal we had. What is the, what are the odds if we got into a fight with the lion that we would win? Like elephant versus lion, who usually wins?
There's two lions, but yeah, we true. Felt pretty confident that we could just step on them.
Yeah, but two lions, yeah, because they'll go from, I watched like the National Geographic, like they are very smart, like they'll one from in front, one from behind. It's hard to play defense against multiple lions.
Maybe we could get an elephant and two lions in the next Royal Rumble to find out.
Okay, good idea.
Yeah, actually, I think that's the next logical step is instead of from that, people just put wild animals.
So are two lions one entrant or is it like back to back entrance, like a lion and then another
Yeah, I think
lion.
It would be like, you know, both members of a tag team, I think.
Okay, fine.
Yeah, I think we need a new Rumble in the Jungle. It's like throw all the savannah creatures in there and see which one will reign supreme, which who will be the king of the jungle from a wrestling perspective.
Yes.
The final four, Liana, Melissa, and two lions.
We threw the elephant over our heads. Okay.
So I would think we want to rejoin the pack. I don't think
I
want to
be with the pack.
No we're good pack comes people. Out of being, you know, a solo elephant.
Mm-hmm. No, we're pack people.
Okay, pack people. No solo dolo. Alrighty, so you follow the herd across the plain. They're moving at a slow walk, and you lope after them to catch up. Some of the other elephants stop to stare at you. The leader, a huge old female, steps towards you. She looks at you with her kindly eyes as she makes a low rumbling sound. Another elephant brushes your back with her trunk.
Whoa.
The herd stops in a grove of trees. There is little to eat. You work hard, stripping bark and pushing over stumps to find good vegetation. You have to eat and eat and eat. There's so much of you to feed. Within a few hours, the grove has been stripped. The leader makes a low noise in her throat as she resumes the trek across the open plain. You and the others follow. The weather has been getting drier. You know, without being told, that you are searching for a better feeding ground. It's hard having to eat so much, but at least you don't live in constant fear like the antelopes, zebras, and giraffes.
Yeah.
You're the animal shaming. Your herd has come upon a field in which hundreds of elephant bones lie scattered.
Oh, no. Get out of here.
I've seen this movie.
Several of the other elephants pick up the bones with their trunks. You watch as the leader carries a bone into a grove of baboa trees. She drops it gently, stands quietly a few moments, and then returns to the herd. Did this bone belong to one of her ancestors? Just as you couldn't understand the human mind while in human form, you can't expect to understand everything about the elephants, even though you are one. The quest for food tugs at the herd. The procession resumes. Not long after passing the Valley of the Bones, you see another small herd of elephants crossing your path. You had thought your group was headed towards a better feeding ground, so why is this group heading a different way? You listen for the rumbling sound of contentment from the leaders of the two herds, but you hear nothing. You search your memories. Gradually, the picture forms. There are good feeding grounds to the south, but there are also many humans and their dwellings, their crops, and their guns. To the north is an area where humans rarely kill, but the trees have been stripped bare, so you will find only parched grasslands where the elephants can hardly keep cool enough to graze. So the two herds are regrouping. Some elephants are going north, some are going south. You can choose to either follow the herd south towards the good feeding grounds or head north towards the safe area.
Akiva, can we phone a friend? Like, can we call Mike Christensen and ask him that our animal expert?
Yeah. Do you have Mike Christensen's number on you?
No, I don't have his cell phone number. I feel like that would be valuable. Should we go near the humans? Maybe they're nice.
Yeah, I'd like to meet some humans.
We used to be humans, so we are a little lonely. Maybe we understand how they work.
Yeah.
When we talk about elephant bones, why do elephants have the most famous bones of any animal? Right? You never hear about, like, you hear about dinosaur bones, but other than that, like, you don't know about anything about lion's bones or giraffe
bones. Maybe because they're so big, the elephant.
Well, elephant bones are also used in stuff, right? Yeah. Or is that just the ivory?
Is that what the David Boreanaz show is about, Liana?
Yeah, bones.
Yeah. I think that elephants also bury their dead, or they I feel like there's something about that.
I remember hearing something about how elephants sort of have like their own funeral processions, or they have at least their own sort of circumstances in which they honor those that have left them. So maybe it's just because they're more funereal, they are the most well-known bones of animals. But Akiva brings up a good point, like going back to birds, somebody's talking about bird bones.
Bird bones are probably very small.
I mean,
you're really dealing with
bird bones, often like a wishbone.
Or like a chicken wing.
Bird bone, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Bird bone. But bird brains, much more popular brain than almost any other animal.
Why? Right? Does it, people say you have a bird brain?
An insult.
Bird brain. Yeah, it's an insult. I guess that is. Yeah, that's why we shouldn't have been a bird. Bird brain is
well, what are you, one of the Three Stooges? How often are you saying bird brain?
I don't think anybody says it anymore, but I don't think birds have gotten progressively smarter.
Yeah, and actually, skull is probably the numbest body part, considering that's also used as an insult, right?
I didn't know Akiva was so anti-bird.
Yeah,
I'm not anti-bird. I just I don't like Larry.
Are you against anything that flies? UFOs, birds.
I mean, I'll get on an airplane. I'm not afraid of.
Yeah,
I'm not afraid. I am against the Concorde. I'm not afraid of airplanes. Like I'll get on a. I'm a very good flyer.
What does that mean?
Well, you know, you ever talk about your kid? Well, because I have kids, Liana, and it's like you'll say to your wife, like, "All right, you don't have to worry about Noam. He's a good flyer." But you know, the other one, you know, so I'm a good flyer.
You're an adult.
I am an adult. I get someone yells that at me twice a day. If you're an adult.
Stop making
hey, numbskull, you're an adult.
Right, I'll tell you why. Because I could be on the window for an 11-hour flight and never have to pee once. That's what a good flyer is. I'm so low maintenance. You'll never have to worry about me.
Yeah, DVT, forget it. But you're Akiva. Yeah. That doesn't matter.
I will sleep the whole flight. I'll do work. You'll never have to worry about me. I'm the best. I guess you get a thinner person to sit next to, but I'm very low maintenance to sit next to on a plane.
So how do you feel about T-Bird?
What about T-Bird? She flies every day. She's probably the best flyer.
Right.
But she has a bird name.
The fact that bird's in her name. Do you have just a hate for her because of that?
No, I like T-Bird, but also she's been thinking about how many planes she's been on. Probably.
I'm
going to
ask her what's the criteria for a good flyer.
Yes. Ask her that and ask her if it's weird for a grown man to say, I'm a good flyer.
Like weird flex, but okay.
Literally as he's talking to the captain waiting for his pilot wings.
Yeah. All right. But we have to make a decision. Do you want to go? Like, I feel like that if we go to where there's no food, I feel like the next page that we go to is
we're dead. We're
you
dead.
Go there. There's no food. You die with a hungry stomach and keel over.
Yeah. Yeah. If we go and the people kill us, that's their funeral. Like people are going to cancel them. They're going to take pictures, post it on Twitter.
Yeah. And says Cecil the Lion.
An elephant. Their dad's going to become president.
I do think that this book is pre-social media.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Mm-hmm. I think
the epilogue is like they find you an article on Netscape that depicts your gruesome death at the hands of poachers.
I think we should see the I want to meet the people. I want to see what they have to say.
Yeah.
All right, so you're going to follow the group headed south towards the good feeding grounds. Okay. You fall in line with eight other elephants headed for the land of the humans. For the first few days, it's hard going across the dusty plain. Sometimes you have to stop for long periods to forage. But as you work your way south, you find lusher vegetation. Then a day comes where you see dwellings of humans. Food is plentiful, but the elephants are nervous. You pace up and down, trumpeting loudly. One big elephant charges into the bush. A man rushes after it, his rifle raised. Two other hunters follow him. You hear an explosion, then a bellow of pain. Suddenly, your human memory returns. You must stay alive. You must escape the humans. You flee into the forest. You can hear the hunters' voices and more shots behind you. Finally, in the darkest part of the forest, you lose them. Here, you'll be safe for a while. And maybe, yes, you feel yourself changing.
Oh, okay. Boy.
Suddenly, you are a human being again.
What?
Back on the temple floor.
So you are still alive.
The monk is sitting, gazing into the flames of a tiny oil lamp. The dark chill of the temple cuts through you, and you realize that once again you are unable to move. Oh, won't the guardian release me yet?
I think not,
says the monk, without what? Turning to look at you.
You are not yet in the realm of the living. The only way for you to survive is to become an animal once again. First, you must answer this question. Living as an animal, would you rather be among people, near people, or far away from people?
Mm. So you have three options. You can live among people, near people, or away from people.
I think ideally you want to be away from people, no?
Well, among people is probably like a dog or a cat, right?
Oh, yeah. Is that what you want?
To be a pet. I mean, yeah. That's a good animal life to be
podcast.
A pet.
Podcast, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Okay. Are there a lot of anti-pet podcasts?
I think so.
Okay. Then away from people. So it's among people, near people, or really far away from people.
Right. Yes. Where you're measuring the distance in proximity to people.
I mean, what animal's really far away from people? Are we going back to like the savannah, or is that a bird?
Maybe, yeah, it could be a penguin.
The dreaded bird.
Well, yeah, like, penguin. Which option is the bird option?
Yeah, which
that's
is the
one
least
I don't
bird
want.
Option.
Yeah. I mean, a penguin, the problem with penguins is that it feels very cold to me. Like, I feel like penguins are always cold.
I think that they
have
a lot
cold.
Of
I'd be, they'd be used to it, but I'd be cold as a penguin for a while. It would take a while to get used to it.
Mm-hmm. So do you want to be among people?
We could be among people.
Okay.
Yeah, we're among us.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you'd rather live among people.
Yes, yeah. Please.
All right. Suddenly, your whole body shudders, and you know that you are changing into another you.
Okay.
Miark! Yaur! The voice is yours. All you can see are the legs of tables and chairs and shoes, out of which grows legs and far above the human you live with, Karen.
No!
She's standing over the counter. Maybe she's making dinner, if only you could see. No sooner do you think that you feel, your muscles tense. You crouch like a coiled spring and leap six times as high as you stand and land neatly on the kitchen table. A great hand is swooping through the air, coming right at you. Whoosh! It cradles your hindquarters, pushing you with more force than you can resist right to the edge of the table. Nothing to do but jump. You land neatly on the floor.
Jasper!
Karen cries.
You know you're not supposed to be on the table.
You pretend to look sorrowful, but you're not sorry. Sorry, not sorry. Nothing ventured, nothing gained. That's your cat philosophy.
Akiva, we didn't want to watch the movie, and now we're stuck as a cat.
A Karen's cat. We're Karen's cat.
Unclear old on the Deuteronomy situation, but
new
yes.
Deuteronomy.
We're Karen's cat.
Your nose smells liver and kidneys. There's your dish descending to the floor. You stroll over to it, careful not to act too eager, like the stupid dog next door.
Well, Jasper?
You hear Karen say, as you feel her long fingers running over your back.
Ew. Would you like to go outside?
So,
oh, an outside cat.
You can run to the door to be let out, or you can stay put.
The stakes suddenly feel much lower than we were going to get killed in the savannah. Now we're a cat.
I'm excited for Jasper the cat in the next Royal Rumble.
I think to get out of being a cat, we do have to leave the house, Rob. I don't think we're going to.
There's very low chance that we're going to die in the house, but
I don't know. I don't trust Karen.
I think the variance outside the house, we could die, but I think our best chance of becoming a person again is
what's the best case scenario outside the house for the cat?
More living
milk somewhere? Yeah.
Maybe a mouse?
I guess so.
I don't know. That seems gross.
Mm.
I would never want to be a cat.
Yeah. All right. Let's go outside.
What do you think about Jasper as a pet's name?
I don't know. Jasper sounds like the name of like a groundskeeper.
Mm. Yeah.
That's very specific.
Yeah, like old Jasper's got the keys to the bones, the elephant bones.
I think it's a better dog name than a cat name.
Yeah, Jasper, I think is a dog's name.
Yeah. All right. So you're going to run to the door to be let out. The door opens and you run out to the lawn. After sniffing the newly mowed grass, watching a couple of noisy birds, you lie down in a patch of sunlight and roll on your back, stretching your legs, ready for a short nap. You've just closed your eyes when you hear a low, throaty growl. Instantly, you're alert and on your feet, your tail slashing the air. The neighbor's dog, Rufus, is loose and he's after you.
Classic Rufus.
Rufus and Jasper. Quickly, you're off. The two of you race away from the houses and into an open field. Your powerful legs move quickly, but Rufus is bigger and faster. This was dumb, you realize. There isn't even a tree to climb. Rufus is coming closer, barking loudly. You've had enough of this. So you wheel around, hissing, your back arched, your fur standing on end. Rufus charges. You let him move in until he's just the right distance. Then your claws lash out, raking his nose. Rufus stops short, howling in pain. Hissing furiously, you attack again. The dog runs. You sit down in a patch of clover and clean your paws. Then lazily you start home. But as you walk down the street, you walk out of your life as a cat. And suddenly you are far away and much larger. As you gaze around endlessly at brown grasslands, you notice that you are in a herd of animals with black and white stripes. Looking at your legs and your hindquarters, you can see that you are one of them. You leap into motion, prancing through the tall grass, enjoying your speed and strength. The morning sun is blinking through the trees. Ahead is a watering hole spilling over its banks with recent heavy rains. You pause to graze on the sweet grass. The early morning air smells cool and fresh. You breathe deeply and snort. You shiver your hindquarters to shake off the flies, then break into a joyful canter across the plains. As you slow to a trot, a new scent reaches your nostrils. You stop short and prick up your ears. You hear nothing, but your eyes register an image that alerts every nerve and muscle. Not far away, a lion is crouched, his yellow-green eyes fixed on you. You know he is waiting for the right moment to charge. You want to make it back to the herd. Among zebras, there's safety in numbers. Should you try to make it? Your chances of outrunning a lion would be better if you actually ran away from the herd, but then you would be even more isolated. So do you run from the herd, or do you run the other way?
I'm mystified that there was no sort of prompt to change out of the cat. I guess they just sort of, at a whim, like, all right, I guess you're not a cat anymore.
If you're a cat, you automatically become a zebra.
Do you think, Rob,
zebras know, like, which one's which? Do you think, like, oh, yeah, that's Bobby over there. He's, like, seven.
Yeah. Yeah, they definitely
You do?
Know. Yeah.
Oh, they just look so much alike. I can't, like, I don't know how they would
know. Wow.
Not cool.
You think all zebras suffer from stripe blindness?
It's possible.
Yeah, I think the Akiva zebra, a zebra, would not be very good.
Yeah.
It's true. I wouldn't know.
So what do you think the move is here? Do we get back to the pack, or
we have to go back? Aren't we pack people? Didn't we establish we're pack people?
Pack people also did lead to your death.
Yeah, yes. That's true. That's a good point.
I kind of feel like that you don't want to play it safe on these things.
Okay, fine. Let's not play it safe.
Do you want to run the other way to safety?
Get out of here, because maybe we'll change it to something else if we go the other way.
Yeah. You're not enjoying your... are you a zebra fan in general?
Not particularly. I feel like that among the animal kingdom, I just feel like that they are easy pickings for.
Yeah, they're easy pickings. They're really glorified donkeys with cooler colors, right? Like they wouldn't even be at the zoo if they didn't have better colors. They're donkeys. Yeah.
I feel like they're more like a horse.
Yeah, but there's no horses at the zoo, really.
Yeah, there's a lot of like horse vernacular used in that passage between like the canter and the
and
trotting.
Not for nothing. This is a hot take. I would need wasn't one of our resident zookeepers like Mike or Sean Falconer's wife Sandy to. I feel like zebras smell worse than most animals. Also,
I have not heard that.
No. I'd like to know if we could get a bottom five worst smelling animals at the zoo list for Mike for next week. I would love that.
Yeah, I don't think zebra is going to crack the bottom five.
I feel like they're very smelly.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not sure why.
I don't know. I feel like the ones that have much more hair around them and probably have more ability to catch like mold and dust and mites, like a like a monkey, for example, is probably smelly.
What about skunk? Does skunk get into the bottom
there's
five?
There's no skunks at the zoo.
I'm sure some zoo has a skunk.
I'm sure some zoo has a skunk. That is true. Imagine being the zookeeper who's got to deal with the skunk, though. Maybe no zoos have skunks. I'm not sure.
I mean, I can ask my kids later and see what they think.
If zoos have skunks?
No, about what are the worst smelling animals. They watch a lot of Wild Kratts.
They definitely went into what animals smell the worst on that show.
Next week on Wild Kratts, we're going to
rank
the top
5 million episodes. I'm sure it came up.
Yeah. Wild Kratts.
Joe Exotic Zoo would have a skunk for sure.
Yeah, but I think Joe Exotic's animals don't smell natural.
I bet Joe Exotic smells pretty bad, though, too.
Yeah, you don't notice. That's the worst smelling thing at his zoo is him.
OnePinePlanet.org's top 10 smelliest animals. There actually is a bird called the stink bird on it, so I guess that is automatically given.
That's a double whammy.
Hard out on the stink bird. I like that Rob, we haven't mentioned this, right, that Rob is not podcasting from his regular podcast place, but he did still bring the bell down. That's funny.
No, we have several at our house that I was actually fighting with my... So, yeah, my wife is sleeping next door to my podcast studio, so I'm supposed to be watching my kids, but we needed to record the podcast earlier, so they're playing a video game, and I'm podcasting in my kids' room, but I needed to have a bell here, and I tried to assign them to go find a bell, and then they just gave up on it, but then ultimately they found one.
Other stinky animals, Tasmanian devil, we've got the musk ox, which again makes sense, the stink bug. Number one, give it to Uncle Kiwi. The skunk is apparently the smelliest animal ever.
Well, I don't know. I didn't go really that far on a limb there to say skunk is the smelliest animal.
Yeah. He said zebra is the smelliest animal.
Did you know any, did you ever know of someone who got sprayed by a skunk when you were a kid?
No.
I do remember one kid got sprayed by a skunk when I was little. And like, what is it, like you bathe in tomato juice or something ridiculous?
That's apparently to like get rid of the odor, I think.
But I that's like when you're a kid, it's like a big part of your life is like, don't get sprayed by skunks. I haven't thought of a skunk in like 15 years before today, though. Much less a factor in my life, the skunk, than I thought it would growing up.
Same as quicksand. I think that's same deal.
Yeah, we talked about quicksand. Quicksand needs a new publicist. Quicksand has not been in. You talk to the, you know, TikTok Nicole or my sister, someone who's like 20. They won't even know what quicksand is anymore.
So they need a rebranding.
They do. They need a rebranding, or they need to like. There needs to be more quicksand around. Like maybe quicksand.
Wait, are you advocating that they popularize quicksand? Like, let's go into the cul-de-sacs and put.
I mean, if we're the new publicist for quicksand, like one of the things we have to do is actually bring back quicksand.
I just think that quicksand was something that happened to a lot of characters in cartoons and like Gilligan's Island. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so
are you saying it's not real? Maybe is quicksand not real?
I think it's real. I think it's a real phenomenon, but I just think that probably there weren't a lot of characters on TV shows in the early 2000s that got stuck in it.
Right, I wouldn't say it's like Steven Universe isn't going into quicksand anytime soon, right? Like maybe it's just a matter of access to certain pieces of pop culture that it's a facet of the past is quicksand.
Mike, did anybody ever get stuck in quicksand on Lost?
No, there. I don't think there was any quicksand on Lost.
Seems like a missed opportunity.
Yeah, it does. I feel like maybe if they had gone more to like the dangerous island, they would have gone to that.
Not even Nikki and Paolo. That wasn't quicksand.
No, that was a venomous spider bite, possibly from a different type of animal that paralyzed them. No quicksand there.
Yeah, but the publicist for quicksand could have gotten that in there. So again, like, you know, maybe Akiva, that can be your job.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like it's real. There's a National Geographic video, Is It Possible to Survive Being Stuck in Quicksand, where Johnny Phillips risks life and limb to experience firsthand what it's like to slowly...
If we were going to be the publicist for Quicksand, what are we going to try to do? Make it quicker? Like,
Well, I think you need to... Could you change its name?
Called Speed like, up that sand, baby.
You call it like a fast grass?
Fast grass. Whoa.
Fast grass. But it is sand, right? Fast grass is like... More like a generic CBD company.
You could throw some grass in there.
Eat two of our fast grass gummies every day, and you'll. The name Quicksand is the best thing Quicksand has going for it, in my opinion. I don't think you change the name.
Could there be a partnership with Nestle Quick? Like, find a brand.
Ooh, that's good. How about this? You put it. Well, this is a little. You put Nestle Quicks. You hide them like your Willy Wonka around the world. But boom, you grab a Nestle Quick. You're in Quicksand.
Oh, God.
Oh, I thought you were going to say that the Quicksand was Nestle Quick, where then you sink to the...
That's probably a better idea than killing children around the world.
Very Willy Wonka of you.
Quicksand.
If the Quicksand is made out of Nestle Quick, that's probably better than my plan.
What are we doing with this herd? Are we going to... We're running away from it? We're going to try to go...
Yeah, we're going to run away. We're going to risk life and limb here, but we're going to...
Watch out, there might be Quicksand.
Yeah, zebras might stink too bad.
I mean, these books were written in the time of Quicksand heyday, so they could see some Quicksand. Yeah. All right, so you waste no time breaking into a gallop, ignoring the herd, trying to hold your distance from the charging lion. You stretch your legs, lungs, and heart to the utmost. Then, somehow, you sense that the lion has quit, his efforts spent. You slow your pace and glance back. The king of beasts is slinking away into the tall grass, the fast grass. You're alive and free, but your human memory is taking hold again, and you sweat the cold sweat of fear, but only if you could be an animal that no lion would dare to attack. You feel a wave of darkness sweep over you. Then, blinking your eyes, you find yourself hunched over, your weight supported in part by your long arms and hands, which are pressed knuckles to the ground. You stand erect. You realize your body is covered with a furry brown hair and that you are enormous, standing at 7 feet tall, weighing almost 400 pounds. You walk a few steps, but quickly drop down so you can use your knuckles as two front feet. It's more comfortable that way. You move rapidly through the thick vegetation that covers the mountainside. You stoop down to grab some stalks of wild celery and stuff them into your mouth. There is a stout tree in your way. You reach out and knock it over. As you work your way up the mountainside, you notice some other gorillas. They look happy, lounging in the grass and soaking up the sun. Some of them are sitting alone, grunting and belching. Others are picking gnats and lice off each other's backs. On the knoll above them is a huge silverback gorilla surveying the scene. He's obviously the leader, so you know he might attack you if you tried to join his group. So, now we know you guys are pack people. Are you going to decide to approach the group or explore elsewhere?
What do you think?
Silverback gorilla. I don't know. He seems nice.
Yeah, let's see what's going on there.
Yeah.
I mean, they got a whole setup. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So let's be pack people. Let's approach the group. So as you knuckle walk over to the group, the gorillas look at you. Most of them grunt. Some of them sound friendlier than others. Suddenly, the big silverback stands erect. He beats his chest. He roars. The others show their teeth and scream. For a moment, you want to run, but you hold your ground. After all, you are a gorilla. Gorilla is italicized for some reason. The silverback starts towards you. You go, gorilla. Without quite knowing why, you crouch down and fix your attention on a celery stalk. The silverback sniffs you, then withdraws. A couple of smaller gorillas come closer. You exchange sidelong glances and grunts. Another gorilla throws an arm around you. You have been accepted by the group.
Oh.
Wait, I didn't realize that they did like little bro hugs the way that people
do. One of us. All right, that's good.
And there was no hazing. All right.
Yeah.
As the days pass, you become close friends with the other gorillas.
What's the passage of time? You've spent like weeks in the form of all these animals.
Like, we're social creatures.
Yeah. Same life. We were a cat. This is crazy.
Your group travels together on the lush green mountain slopes, feeding on succulent plants. Sometimes you find an old nest of twigs, branches, and leaves. Some call them birdhouses. Sometimes you make a new one. You are happy playing, resting, and foraging with the others. One day you hear a strange noise. Peering through the trees, you see a funny, little-looking, hairless apes. Something about them looks familiar. Hidden in the dense thicket, you watch the hairless apes. They fascinate you. Your human memory is rekindled. These are humans. The objects they hold are cameras. They're filming the silverback gorillas. The other gorillas have caught the human scent and have retreated deep into the jungle. Your instinct is to join them, but you long for human company. As you peer through the brush, you notice a woman looking directly at you through her binoculars.
I can't believe it,
she says to a companion.
Normally, it takes months before they'll let themselves be seen. This one looks almost friendly. Get the cameras.
Lonely without your gorilla companions, you decide to give the people a show. You let them film you foraging, grooming, and playing. After a while, you begin to enjoy it. This is like the first OnlyFans. You're becoming quite a star. If only you could tell the humans that inside you are really one of them. Even when you sleep, you dream of being a person again. Once again, the wave of darkness sweeps over you. You feel as if you were spinning wildly and everything is still. You are you again. The monk is sitting there looking serene as ever. Doesn't he ever get up and stretch and walk around, you wonder?
What he must feel.
He must eat, though not very much, judging by his frail appearance. His high cheekbones seem barely covered with skin. His brown eyes are set far back in their sockets. The monk interrupts your thoughts.
Well, have you been happy as an animal?
Happy? You say slowly? I don't know. It felt so different. It's hard.
Ah, then you would be happier being a simpler animal.
No simp.
A simple animal of the air, the land, or of the sea. Which?
Wait a minute. You protest. What about the guardian? And
there's no other way.
The monk's voice is gentle but firm.
It is not I who ordains your destiny.
You grit your teeth and answer. You say, okay, if you say you'll be a simple animal of the air, a simple animal of the land, or a simple animal of the sea?
He's like, oh, my hands are tied. There's nothing I can do about this. Who's making this call?
Yeah, I don't know.
I think this guy's controlled with being like, oh, you're not a cat anymore. You're a zebra. And now you're a lion. Like, this is a guy clearly just effing with you. There is no higher power here.
Mm-hmm. Look, it's his first day on the job. He's got no idea what he's doing.
He's like got the remote control. He's like, oh, what's on channel 1871? All right. What's on 1792?
The Karen Cat channel, of course.
Yeah.
See, I don't know what defines a simple animal. Is these like simple machines?
I don't know. But again, land, air, and sea. But you will be a simple animal. We don't know what that means. But
where would you rather be a simple animal?
I wonder if the air.
Akiva, what do you think?
I think maybe the sea. No, if you're simple in the sea, you're toast, right?
I don't know. I feel like the sometimes I don't know how the bigger creatures might be a little bit simpler. So you might be able to rule the roost a bit.
I don't know.
You think like a shark is simple? No way.
No. They're like
simple
a shrimp. Like,
yeah, shrimp. Yeah. I think simple, if you're simple, you probably want to be in the air, I think. I'm not sure.
Yeah, because you have a bird brain.
A bird brain, yeah. What do you think, Rob?
All right, go to the air.
All right, we're going to the air. You take flight from the surface of the marsh. It's a hot summer evening, and you're in search of blood. Instinct guides you towards the house and you through the broken parts of the screen. You hover over a sleeping girl. As you buzz by her ear, she turns. Her arm lashes out, but you dart away. You land on a wall, waiting until she's quiet again. You're focused on a bare shoulder. You dive. Silently, you set to work, drawing out her rich blood. The girl swats hard, but you fly out of range. As soon as she settles back down, you land on her hand to finish your meal. This is the best blood yet. Suddenly, the girl sits up, switches on a light. Once again, you take to the air.
All right, mosquito!
She stalks around her room looking for you. You land on the back of her neck and slowly walk down her spine.
Gotcha!
The girl cries, slapping herself on the shoulder. You move down a little further.
Uh-oh.
The hand whips around again. Splat. The end.
Oh. So you got to be like an elephant and a zebra and a gorilla, and you end as a mosquito.
We were really trying to avoid being an insect the whole time, and then 2 seconds in as an insect, and we're toast. That monk, I hate that monk so much.
So much.
Yeah, screw that guy.
So much. Yeah. I mean, probably went back to the well one too many times with the girl and the blood.
Probably true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you've been off more greedy than you could chew.
You got greedy.
I mean, mosquito, how many times do they need to bite one person? You feel like that they're a very tiny insect. How much blood do they need?
It's true. They should be more afraid. Mosquitoes don't have enough, you know.
There was a while when they had the control, right, with the whole West Nile thing. So maybe they got sort of high on their haunches there.
And Zika. Yeah.
And true. Zika, exactly.
Yeah. Now we're back. We're in charge, mosquitoes, and you're on the run.
Yeah. We're just not worried about them right now.
Mm-hmm. We got bigger fish to fry. We should have really been a shark. That's my
simpler
only
fish
regret.
To fry.
Yeah, you guys were adamant about avoiding the sea.
Let's see. If you went to the sea, you would end up as a crab.
Not kosher.
No. Okay.
I mean, not that a mosquito or a zebra are kosher, but what are you going to do?
I mean, do you know a mosquito's not kosher?
Yeah, no insects are kosher, yes.
If you went to the land, you would be a wombat.
Oh.
Yeah.
That would
have
been something.
So simple.
Don't know if it's Wiggler's wombats, but it would be a hairy-nosed wombat.
Do you want to play it out? Do you want to be a wombat?
Yeah, we could be a wombat for a minute here. I think it was probably the last of the simulations.
All right. So, all right. Munch, munch, munch. You're eating. We're going to summarize part of this.
They have square poop, by the way.
Wombats have square poop. I didn't know that. Okay.
Unfortunately, I don't think they go into the bathroom habits of any of these animals in this book.
No, I learned it at the science fair.
Okay. Well, the kid who got a D- on the science project.
Yeah,
the shapes of all animal poops.
Mm-hmm. And how they taste.
Oh no. All right. So all right, so you're eating, your short legs take you not over but through the land, the clumps and lumps of hardened mud and tufted grass, the rocky mounded earth. You lap at a trickle of water from a spring.
Nice.
Snip, snip, chomp. You eat again. Then, burrowing in beneath a large flat rock, you sleep, oblivious to the snoring animal beside you, which, like you, is a hairy-nosed wombat. Okay, you can feel yourself stretching, your arms and legs growing longer. Your strength is surging into your human body. Laughing, nice. You leap in the air and come down in the temple. At first, you shudder to be back inside the huge dark room. You realize you can move. The shadow of death no longer clings to you.
How was it being a simple animal?
The monk inquires gently.
Fine.
Yeah. Well, it was awful. to be able to feel but not to think.
Ah, you would rather not think and not feel?
No, I'm... Were you asleep, you wonder? It doesn't seem so, though you're rubbing your eyes as if you were. The monk sits in the lotus position, impassive as before.
What is the lotus position?
Like cross-legged.
Yeah, I think that's the thing where you're like, your legs are like sitting on top of your knees.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's see. Go to the door.
Careful to stay inside, you go to the open door and blink in astonishment. The stairs of the temple are covered in deep drifts of snow. In fact, everything is covered by snow except for the statue of the temple guardian. Months have passed. Have I been asleep since summer? Your voice, been silenced for so long, is husky.
You have not been asleep.
The monk replies.
You've been a tree.
What is going on? Okay, you try to imagine yourself as a tree standing rooted, half of your lower trunk covered with snow, your branches and twigs quivering in the winter wind, unfeeling. The monk breaks into your thoughts.
You have shown courage and new understanding. The guardian of the temple is pleased with you. You will be allowed to return to your human life, unless you choose to become an animal again.
Why would I do that? The monk smiles.
You humans are given the opportunity to experience life as another creature. You may never have this chance again.
All right, so you get to try to be an animal again. No specification on whether or not it's simple. Or you can say you don't want to risk being an animal again.
I think we have a chance to stick the landing here.
Yeah, I agree.
Walk away from the table.
Yeah, let's go out.
They say when you're ahead.
Yeah. Maybe that's what they mean when you're that we're up too big in the casino. They're trying to get us to stay in Atlantis and Leprechaun 3. They're trying to comp us a room at the temple.
Doesn't always work out.
Yeah. All right. So, no thanks, you say. I've had enough of being an animal. It feels great being a human being again, and I want to stay this way.
Very well,
says the monk.
But you will not be able to find the trail through the snow. I will guide you down the mountain. Come, it is safe for you to cross the threshold now.
Slowly, you step out.
I'm just saying, if we get played by this monk, I'm going to be so upset.
You shouldn't trust this guy. He's going to like push you off the mountain.
I hate this guy.
Yeah,
I'm going to be so mad if he screws us.
All right. Well, all of your senses seem sharper. You've never felt so alive. Your eyes fall on the statue of the guardian. A familiar chill goes through you. You take a deep breath and stare at the great stone face.
Hurry!
The monk calls from below. You look back for the last time and sprint down the broad stone steps. For 3 days, you follow the monk down steep, winding trails. Finally, just below the snow line, you reach a beautiful valley covered with wildflowers. That night, you stay in a monastery where you meet travelers who offer to guide you to the city of Kathmandu. From there, you'll be able to take a plane home.
Concord?
Just like the Amazing Race.
A brisk 3-hour, 45-minute flight.
In the morning, you bid the monk goodbye and thank him for his kindness. He gives you a Tibetan thangka, a sacred parting.
I will also leave you another gift,
he said.
Yeah?
This one from the guardian of the temple. You can neither see it nor touch it, but it will stay with you forever. The gift of friendship with all animals.
Oh boy. End.
I thought it was going to be with the monk. I was going to hard pass on that.
You're my wife now.
Friendship with all animals. Akiva, do you want that?
I mean, I'd rather animals not know me and nothing me than like, ooh, the lion perks up like, oh, it's Uncle Kiwi.
So you don't want everyone throwing me like, oh man, it's her bud, Kiev.
Yeah, can you imagine that?
Below
every
the radar.
Wants to visit with you when you leave the house.
Yeah.
Yeah. That would be a great gift. All animals will be indifferent to you forever.
Yeah, that is true. That is like the ultimate goal.
Yeah, that's sort of like the weird Dr. Doolittle reboot that we all need, right? Like, screw you, Robert Downey Jr. I want the one where everyone just, all animals treat him with complete ambivalence one way
or
another.
Yeah, what if you like, what if you had, they had a no-kill pass where like mosquitoes won't bite you, like a lion sees you, won't go after you.
Would you rather
skunks won't spray you.
Mosquitoes?
Yeah, that sounds like the dream.
Oh, man. I like that he says you can neither see it nor touch it. Like, what a great gift then. That's,
Yeah. This guy's real, a real cheapo depot.
For Hanukkah this year, I'm going to give my wife, you can neither see it nor touch it, but they're using hypothetical gift for you.
And this guy also theoretically like did torture you for years. At this point.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I like, here's $10 million for your troubles. Nope. The monk just says the animals are going to be okay to you. We're never going back to be an animal.
But not the trees, just the animals, even though you apparently were a tree.
Yeah. We've experienced so much.
Ironically, you never did go to the sea for a book called You Are a Shark, but you stayed plenty on the land. And
yeah, very, very misleading title, but we had a good time out of the sea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think they just picked some market research. What's the compelling animal to, it wasn't like be all animals.
Yeah, I do think when you're like that age, I think that sharks are probably like the most appealing animal to you, especially from like a boy perspective. I'm not sure what the gender breakdown of choose your own adventure books is.
I don't think my kids ever talk about sharks. Do your boys talk about sharks?
Not a lot.
The San Jose sharks, maybe.
Has not come up. No hockey talk in this house.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. My kids are into like dinosaurs and dogs. I don't really hear any shark talk. Hmm.
So even that first choice where you get to pick if you want to be in the ocean, you turn into a whale. You don't even turn into a shark.
What if the whole book has no sharks and it's like really like, can you control F the word shark and see if it's in there once? Because that would be, what a scam that would be if there's no, like you just,
constantly, you know, going through that book, and you never.
I think
no
there is one out. Ending where you're a shark, but there's no way to get yep. there. You have to cheat.
I found an octopus. Okay. So, so far,
really all the things that sharks eat, except for the sharks proper, you will not be the apex predator of the sea, no matter what. Which is maybe a statement about your own simping, as it were, in you know, violating the guardian to begin with.
Oh no,
simp animal.
Okay,
the simp animal.
What animal is the biggest simp, Rob?
Chimpanzee.
Oh no.
That's gonna be the new insult that Gen Zers hurled at one another.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right.
It's chimpanzee.
Was there anything choose your own adventure related, Mike and Liana, that you wanted to make sure we hit on our choose your Renap venture?
I mean, so I'm going through some choose your own adventure book names right now, and it's an interesting series to peruse. Like, for example, there is a choose your own adventure series around the Star Wars trilogy.
Yes. Whoa. Kiva, if you could read any choose your own adventure, like, is there any sort of like occupation or experience that you mm-hmm. would read a choose your own adventure book about?
Yeah, accountant. Like, let's see what they could do with this one.
If you choose to file as a it's dependent,
it's season again, baby. It was 13 hours last night.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like the choose your own adventure accountant would be like, you've been indicted for tax fraud. Go to jail and spend the rest of your life in a white collar prison.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I feel like there's a lot of things that I feel like that you could live vicariously through one of these stories that wouldn't have to actually do this experience.
The only one I can find that's close enough is there's sunken treasure.
To accountant?
Yeah. There's no money
so you're in contact with coins.
Sunken cost fallacy.
Yeah. Ooh, there's the Mardi Gras mystery.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's a one called Hijacked. Maybe you get kidnapped to become accountants for some sort of like terrorist circle.
Captain Phillips. When did you choose your own adventures fall out of favor? When was their DOA date?
Well, I think so. The last book in the series proper was released in 1998. That being said, I do believe in the 2000s they came out and like re-released some. And speaking of like the Star Wars stuff, I know there's been a bunch of like spin-off ones, but the CYOA proper, the real McCoy, ran until about the late 90s.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What's the most well-known of the Choose Your Own Adventures? Is there like a...
Ooh.
Yeah, what is like the white album of Choose Your Own Adventure?
Ooh, that's a good question. So
it's a book called You Are a Beetle.
Oh, that's Mike, you're on the cover of that one, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's just me sitting with Yoko Ono. You're like, oh no, you turned to the wrong page.
Yeah. The Cave of Time, I know, is a big one.
Let's see. I know one of them also just got made into a board game.
Interesting.
Like the Haunted House. Mm-hmm. Or something like that. Something with I don't know. I played it.
And so did you know that they filed a lawsuit against Netflix for Bandersnatch?
Oh, did they really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's fabulous.
I didn't know that there was one. I thought it was like everyone does Choose Your Own Adventure. I didn't realize one company had like the IP for it. That's why.
Yeah. No, there's a company called ChooseCo that releases all the Choose Your Own Adventure books.
Okay. All right. Whose side are you on, Akiva? Netflix or ChooseCo?
Listen, I'm with ChooseCo. Listen, they came up with this. I thought there was 100 companies that had it, but if it's only one, Netflix can get lost. But listen, you could pay them, if they're basically out of business, you could pay them like $100 for the IP. Don't steal it, Netflix.
Mm-hmm. Netflix does have a TV show called Quicksand, though, so.
Well, I just had a bad thought. If they'll sue like any media who they think they're like, are we going to get sued now for doing a choose your own adventure?
I wonder though, since we have credited it to their own, and this is, you know, this is available online. It's free. So like, you know, I don't think we need to pay them any royalties necessarily for it.
Plus, it's promotional work. This is like the ground, boots on the ground, grassroots type of advertising that, you know, you can't pay for.
Yeah. Some other titles that we could have done, Prisoner of the Ant People.
Nah.
That would have been terrifying.
Terrifying.
Yeah. I would not want to have gotten into that. But yeah, I'm looking at the old titles, and like I feel like a lot of these I could just like see like in like the school library.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's an interesting facet to the titles of the UR series. UR as Shark is definitely the most out there, but there's also UR a superstar, UR a genius, mm-hmm. and UR a millionaire.
Oh, that's a keepers.
The genius, okay. Thank you.
No. Cue the Moby.
Is there a you're a great flyer?
Is there you are a podcaster?
You are a great flyer. You recline back in your window seat. You're not going anywhere for the next 12 hours. Mm. The flight attendant wakes by and gives you a wink. You know you're a great flyer, and so did she.
Hmm. It's hour 12 of your adventure, and you have a sudden urge to urinate.
If you choose to go in the poke pit in front of you, turn to page 12.
No, when I say I don't get up to use the bathroom, it doesn't mean I'm using like other means to pee. No, it means I go right before I get on the plane, and I don't have to go for 12 hours usually.
Do you not consume liquid on the plane?
No, well, I'll drink a Coke Zero or two. I usually don't eat the plane food also, even though like there's always like there'll be a special kosher meal. Nah, I won't even take it half the time. I'll sleep through it. I'll usually just listen to podcasts. I usually won't even turn on my TV on like an 11, 12-hour flight.
That seems out of character that there's a kosher meal in front of you,
mm-hmm.
and you just, for whatever reason, won't touch it?
Yeah, because I don't eat on the plane. Then, first of all, that increases the odds you have to go to the bathroom. But also, like, I'm not an airplane eater. I don't know.
Been beaten into you by something you heard from Jerry Seinfeld not to enjoy airline food?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's part of it. It's like, I got my whole childhood watching Seinfeld. What's the deal with airplane food? You know, so I'm
like,
know.
Yeah, what is the deal with it? What I don't want anything to do with it.
I agree. Yeah, I agree.
I'm the opposite. I'll eat anything they put in front of me on an airplane.
That's all equally dangerous. I think.
One of my wife's good friends does not let her kids or her and her husband eat the airplane food. Like she brings meals. I don't know. I think she thinks it's gross and like, but not like tastes bad. Like there's just, I don't know what she doesn't like about it. So she'll like bring a meal for everybody. It's kind of crazy, but that's mm-hmm. what she does.
Does she have enough to share with everybody on the plane?
On the whole plane? Like bring bagels for the whole plane?
Gum in the classroom?
Yeah. I wonder if that's the thing of like Concord flights. It's like, oh, Richard Branson bought bagels and lox for the whole flight. That's what you're having now.
Yeah.
You have to share.
Yeah, it's actually, you're a great flyer on Concord flights. That's much less of a commendation than being like on a regular flight.
I mean, anybody can be a great flyer on a Concord flight.
4 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Liana, now you're not staying with us for the mailbag, right?
No, I need to depart. This is my choosing my own adventure. I wish I could stay, but...
All right. Well, if you think you can leave, you'll see what sort of simple mammal you become when you walk out of this room.
I need to go back to preparing my We Are the City line. I've got several different versions.
We could have back to... as far as I could remember, and I could definitely be wrong, so you can at me if I'm wrong. I think Puya, who Liana knows, is
her roommate. Yeah.
Yeah, my house
actually aware of.
We say buddy here. I think the only person who's ever been on back-to-back weeks is a guest. I could be wrong, but I think so. And you almost did three in a row, if I remember how the wheel worked. Mm-hmm. So Liana very well could be coming back right next week because we're going to put Star Wars
You're
going to
start wheel jamming this week?
Yes.
I think is that okay? Do you have somewhere to go next week, Liana?
Okay, yeah.
Okay. The RenapBot inspired idea to watch the Star Wars holiday special, mm-hmm. which I was, you know, came to learn that Mike Bloom is seems to be very knowledgeable about the Star Wars holiday special.
I don't know if this is a brag or a put down on myself that I have seen parts of the Star Wars holiday special at least half a dozen times in my lifetime.
What are you like walking into rooms where people have it on? Like,
I mean, no, I've pursued them in my own volition, but they are so in the uncanny valley that it's worth a gander of like, wow, this is truly, if I want to simulate a drug experience without indulging myself, sometimes a good old trip through the Star Wars holiday specials is what I'll do you.
Okay.
All right. Fast trees.
So we're excited about that. Liana, where else can people keep up with you?
You can find me on Twitter at Liana RHAP. Puya and I, my buddy, we are podcasting about The Masked Singer. Yes. So it's really fun to do a catch-up podcast with Rob. And then we are going to be closing out the season. We have, I think, 3 total episodes left, one of which is going to be a sing-along. So, you know.
Yeah.
So that'll be a lot of fun. And I will
also say, not to throw the Star Wars Holiday Special, there may or may not be a sing-along in there as well.
Yes. Rob, Mark. I'm sure you discussed this on the podcast. Mark Sanchez was on the Masked Singer, right?
And he was baby alien.
Yeah.
What's crazy to me is I went to the Wikipedia page the other day to check who was on it this year. And some of those people, there's no way to guess them because they're not famous. So I don't know how the judge
one in particular.
Yes.
Yes. I would actually like to have seen the packages for the Mark Sanchez clues to have gotten a sense of like, well,
12 touchdowns and 20 interceptions in the best season of his career. His backup quarterback once said he would not leave him alone with his now 18-year-old daughter.
Yeah,
that's the real thing.
It's actually interesting because all of his performances, he didn't dance. He just kept butt fumbling, and it was pretty hard to still guess who it was.
Oh my god! Seriously, though, that actually now explains it because he had really bad hand control of the puppets, so it just sort of fits.
They didn't make a butt fumble joke, though.
They didn't make a butt fumble joke.
Yeah, I don't.
I couldn't believe it.
That's funny. Yeah,
I wonder maybe if Chirino's Your Own Adventure came back, if we revived it, I think we could do like a You Are the Masked Singer type of thing.
Well, that's what I was going to say. That The Masked Singer is basically like You Are the Shark of like all right, you are the mosquito, you are the zebra, you are the elephant.
But I love the idea also of like a not famous person being on it. Like when we do the Master Napper again, like imagine if it was just like a random listener we had to guess. Like, oh, that's a listener. Her name is Sarah. You don't know her.
Akiva, it's crazy because they have people on it that are not that famous, but that we talked about this on the podcast I did with Puya and Liana. Like the audience reactions are sort of like they cut to like the like seasons, like reactions from last season. So they will unmask.
Because there's no audience.
They will unmask a not famous person, and the audience goes nuts, like goes insane, which is wild. It's sort of funny. Like you know where they have like the fake like pumped in like crowd noise at like.
But I don't think you even need that. Use like the GIFs of like standing ovation of like Meryl Streep being like yes. Just use that. You don't even need to use repurposed footage from your own show.
Right. We're doing a good sell for the Masked Singer podcast, though, because this is out of control.
Well, if you like it, especially if there's you want people to make fun of it, then
no, great. I'm sure they treat it with the utmost respect.
The show itself doesn't treat itself with respect.
That's true.
But if the Masked Singer is the You Are a Shark of TV shows, does that make Nick Cannon the monk?
Yes.
Yes.
I've given you a gift, mosquito. It's lifelong friendship with masks.
But what are they doing next? Masked Dancer.
Yeah,
they are doing the Masked Dancer.
I don't know how that's going to work.
Mm-hmm. We'll see.
Yeah, I don't know. Do you have to take off a mask or you have to take off like your full body suit?
No, I think it's still just the mask. But the costumes can't be as elaborate because they have to be able to dance in the costume. So it's just like different forms of leotards, essentially. So we'll see how that goes. I don't know how you're supposed to know like, oh, this pirouette. Obviously, I know who this is. But we'll see. Anyway.
We'll see.
All right. That's what I'm up to.
Liana, thank you so much for all of your hard work. We will see you soon when you join us for our Life Day celebration on the Star Wars Holiday Special.
Looking forward to it.
Very excited about it. Mike, I had heard that the Star Wars Holiday Special is more of a Thanksgiving special than Christmas.
So Life Day is technically November 17th because that is the day the Star Wars Holiday Special ended up airing. It's technically like holiday. I think you're more so jumping into the holiday season, even though it is really, some people say, you know, you're playing Christmas music too early before Thanksgiving. People might say you're airing holiday specials too early before Thanksgiving in this case.
Okay. All right. Well, a happy belated Life Day to you both as we will talk about this soon. We are going to take a quick break. And when we come back, it's going to be time for this week's mailbag with Mike Bloom. Mike, do you have ideas for the wheel?
Boy, howdy, do I ever.
Okay, all right. Stay tuned for that. We'll be right back with this week's mailbag.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
All right. We are back with a mailbag 109. And we are so lucky that we have Mike Bloom here with us. Akiva, how great is this?
It's great. Anytime we have Mike Bloom, it's great. But it's especially great today because he did a lot of the heavy lifting for the mailbag. So I'm excited.
Okay. Yeah, me and heavy living do not mix. More so me and running mix, apparently, when it comes to physical activity.
Mike, you're my guy here in the big race. Have you been training? Akiva, I found out that Mike Bloom has an app on his phone that teaches him calisthenics, and he does it every day.
I mean, it has been... It's been Thanksgiving, and the mortal opponent of running is Thanksgiving. So I will admit the training has not been happening.
Did you have a lot of dessert, Mike?
I mean, listen,
Mike.
I mean, Thanksgiving is the most sedentary holiday there is.
Mike.
The purpose is to sit back, gorge, and lay.
No, you know? No.
Who hears that and his ears perk up like, oh my God, this is going to be, I'm going to lap him.
We forgot to ask Liana, how much dessert did Puya have?
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Mm.
But I mean, that's the thing. We're past the holidays. Once we get into the cold, dreary months of January, that's when you really drudge up the idea of like, listen, I'm just going to have to let me run. There's nothing else coming soon. I'm just going to keep running until we reach Valentine's Day.
Okay. All right. Well, all right. We'll see the big race. I'm already one for one on Whoopi Goldberg tweet. So let's see.
Do you think now Liana is Mike's co-host, but roommates with Puya? She's definitely rooting for Puya, Mike, right?
Yeah. I mean, why would she root for Mike?
I don't know.
I mean, people said that both her and my wife, Angela Bloom, should bid on the other person so that it's a win-win situation. Like, there's the moral victory if you're significant other wins.
She's probably sending Mike a basket of muffins at this moment.
I'm not going to refuse muffins. I'm never going to refuse muffins. Who refuses muffins?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm excited about that. Mike has a Valentine's Day in his mind. Maybe that's when he wants the race to be on Valentine's Day.
So. Yeah, exactly. That's that gives us nice. I don't know.
Angela and Liana would love that.
I'm going to run a 40 yard dash on Valentine's Day.
The loser has to pay for a four person like everyone's meal on Valentine's Day night.
Mm. Yeah,
that'd be interesting. I don't know. Maybe Puya and I should have separate bets. Like, if I beat him, he can't use emojis for a month or something.
Okay.
Side bets. All right.
Side bets. But we'll see. There might be bets within bets going on, but I look forward to
focus on the side bets and not the side dishes, okay?
All right. I'll try not to. I don't know. The Christmas ham's looking real juicy.
No. Mike, did you have a good Thanksgiving?
I did. I had a nice Thanksgiving. I posted this on the internet, but my son, speaking of the Star Wars holiday special of it all, has discovered lightsabers.
Yeah, is he a Sith Lord?
I mean, so my in-laws have a whole collection of lightsabers, and the one that he picked up happened to be a Sith one, which really... It raises and answers a lot of questions, to be quite honest, of like, of course, my son, the musical devil incarnate would have a son who's a Sith Lord, so I can't be too stunned, to be quite honest. But you know, it's both a two-headed coin, because while it's fun to like have an acceleration in his tactile skills of like he can wield this, now there is like a chunk of plastic that my son can swing wildly. We have not gotten into the realm of like baseball bats or golf clubs anytime soon, but I feel like we are like on that slippery slope to that eventuality.
Akiva, you know about the dark side of the Force and the light side of the Force?
I could intuit it, but no, I don't know about it.
Yeah, I mean, you basically got it.
Yeah, I could figure it out. Yeah.
I mean, it sort of lies within the name itself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Bad guys, they have a red lightsaber.
And then literally good guys is basically every other color. It's mostly, you know, blue and green, but there's some purples in there. There's some oranges if you ask enough people.
Mm-hmm. So
I'm
going to
be very
recently.
Lost during this Star Wars special, I feel like.
Yeah.
I guarantee you, no matter what level of Star Wars fan you're at, you will be lost during this special. It is equal parts weird and absolutely like just a complete chore to get through. So it really alternates between like what is going on versus what is going on and like the can we just get through this and move on to the next thing. But it livens it up a bit, so you never feel like one particular mood at any point in time.
Is it a half hour or an hour?
I believe it's an hour.
Whoa. Okay.
I mean, I feel like a holiday special does not necessarily last a half hour, right? The word special.
No. Yeah. I feel like a lot of the holiday specials are half hour.
Hmm. Yeah, but I feel like holiday special in the name.
Yeah, I was dreading 2 hours, so I'm sort of fine.
Oh, no, this is not a modern Star Wars movie. This is a Star Wars TV special proper. They were lucky they gave even an hour to George Lucas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Although, I've had to watch Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer many times. Have you ever watched Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer?
I've seen like a little piece of it. I haven't seen the whole thing.
You know what? There's like it goes on way too long. Like that you could cut that down to 10 minutes, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. There's whole like very soft middle of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Plus, I do feel like I think his father would get canceled nowadays. Like, I think he's pretty mean and he does have a line of like, what a woman reindeer's place in the home. Or something. I don't know. I've always been a huge fan of the Rankin Bass Christmas specials, but I can also admit that they are not necessarily perfect.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Mike, what are we doing here?
So, yeah, I guess I have been in charge of the mailbag. I put the mail in mailbag this episode, and I've got some old business, some new business.
Because you're a man?
I suppose so. Mail horror bag, if you will. some old business, some new business, and some very weird business, because I put out the beck and call to the Renap Twitterverse in the past hour since, you know,
near
the end of our Choose Your Own Adventure podcast into the start of this one. I got many interesting responses from the listeners.
Okay. All right. Wonderful.
Well, let's I guess, start with a piece of pressing business, because I know this was some discussion involving a podcast with myself and Jessica Leese from the past, as was suggested during, I think, the To Tell the Truth podcast about Robin and Kiva Get Trekked. Which is sort of like an introduction slash, I guess, catch up in Rob's sake to the Star Trek universe. I commiserated with the great Jessica Leese. We are on board to beam you up into that ship and take you to all things Trek.
Are we ready to make it so?
Well, I think the only thing is, my only concern is I don't want like Star Trek and Star Wars. No, I said this last week. I don't want Star Trek and Star Wars coming up back to back. I think that's fair.
Well, what I will say, though, is there's a veto in the corner that you haven't used all year.
It's true. But I don't. But I also don't. I'm thinking, what about 2 weeks after the Star Wars Star Trek goes on? I think that's fair.
I think it's easier to just throw it on now and veto if it comes up.
This is
rather than having to set a Google calendar.
See, this is what I'm trying to determine here. Like, is this part of your a Kiva playbook of like, okay, if I filibuster, if I stall, maybe it'll fall through the cracks.
No, I said it's happened. I'm not against this. Mm-hmm. Listen, I think people would agree. I don't think Star Wars and Star Trek need to come up in back to back weeks or even two out of three. I don't think that's crazy.
They're not going to.
Okay. Now the wheel is, I think, the biggest it's ever been. To be fair,
mm-hmm. I mean, to be fair, like look at the podcast just did has been up here for what, like,
it's
4 or 5
months.
It's not
going to be eligible for next week.
Okay. Okay, fine. Yeah, you could put it on. I have no problem with putting it on. But I want to make a rule: Star Trek and Star Wars can't come up back. Never the two shall meet. Can't be back to back. We'd be thrilled to have you.
And just hypothetically, if the Star Wars holiday special came up, and then Mike and Jess came on to talk about
the next week.
Star Trek the next week, what would happen? Mm-hmm. What would happen? We'd be like, this podcast.
Too many stars.
Too much science fiction.
To be fair, I think let's look at where Akiva's coming from. He does not want to be called a nerd. Mm-hmm. I think this would really paint him into that corner unintentionally.
Could be.
So, wow, you're talking Star Wars and Star Trek within a fortnight. Wow, what a big dweeb.
Mm-hmm. I'd rather be known as a good flyer than a nerd.
Yes.
Okay. I think, Rob, actually, while we're talking, if you could do us a favor, if you don't want to do this, I'll do it.
Okay.
We need to figure out how many spots on the wheel the Star Wars Holiday Special gets. Ooh, for next week. Okay?
Can I make an offer?
Yes, but I had an idea, but let's see if you could beat it. Yes.
I think it's super easy if we're using Star Wars numbers here. 3 this week, 6 the next week, 9 the week after.
I don't hate it.
Why? Oh, because there's trilogies.
Episodes, yeah. 6 episodes and then 9
but episodes. It might not come up that way. That's a decent form of wheel jam. And then I guess the week after that could be like 3 plus 6 plus 9 or something.
Because
and it could
be last spots. Year, famously, yeah. we ran yeah. into an issue where we had mm-hmm. like a, what is the... What the crappy?
It was
movie.
A Hanukkah Christmas movie. It was like a, yeah. it was like a holiday movie. Hanukkah/Christmas.
We had some sort of like the Hanukkah movie diaper. I don't know exactly what
dreidel. It was a Hanukkah movie dreidel.
Hanukkah movie dreidel. Whatever. Okay, yeah. And we're gonna spin it, but it never came up. Despite
yeah,
the
we
wheel
gave it like 10 to 20 spots, and it just okay. It's
so
very unlucky.
Here are the okay. So next weekend will be the weekend of December 5th and 6th, followed mm-hmm. by then there will be a weekend of the 12th and 13th, and mm-hmm. then a weekend of the 19th and 20th. But that's yeah. really it. You know, we're not going to do...
But I don't know. Again, this is...
Mike is saying 3, 6, and 9,
which is
nice.
This is a thing that took place technically 2 weeks after recording right now. So I don't think you're bound by any calendar.
I'll tell you my pitch, and you could pick whichever pitch you like, and it's fine.
Yeah.
I won't be offended. My idea was because this is a Renatbot pitch, right? This is... The Renatbot came up with this idea on its own.
Yeah.
I think you should right now tweet at the Renatbot and say, how many spots on the wheel should the Star Wars Holiday Special get? And let's see what we get from the Renatbot. Maybe we can get a number.
Do you want to use an RNG in the Renatbot? Yeah.
Well, let's see if the Renatbot gives a number.
It's going to give me like a GIF of Dave Matthews. Okay.
Can I also apparently the Renatbot is like my ops, is my mortal enemy.
Oh.
What did it say?
Well, it said a couple of interesting things. First, it has questioned my existence. I believe there was a tweet out there of like finding the real Mike Bloom. Mm-hmm. And then, probably more memorably, it tried to put me in the place of a sex predator and saying that I should be the new Matt Lauer. And so I'm not sure what Renatbot is doing to me at this point. There's a lot of libel going on here.
Let me just ask, Akiva, how do you want me to word this question? How many spots on the wheel does the Star Wars Holiday Special get?
Yes. How many spots on the wheel does the Star Wars Holiday Special
get? Am I mentioning anything about wheel jamming or no?
No, I don't think the Renatbot needs to know about wheel jamming. Now, I think if it says a number in any form, we'll count that number as the official number.
But it will not. It's going to give us something that will...
Keep tweeting till it comes up with a number at some point?
No.
You realize that Akiva's filibustering so that he can log into the Renatbot account right now.
I don't know the password.
They changed it.
I don't know the password because it used a word that's not super appropriate this week on... But it was at like 4:30 in the morning, so I did have like urgent tweets at it to Amanda and the Renatbot to take it down. Luckily, Amanda was up pretty quickly and took it down. Nobody really noticed. But no, so if I had it, I should have it, and maybe I'll ask for it. But I do not have the password.
Yeah,
I think you gave it to me the first day, but I wouldn't even know where to find it.
Can you give us a hint on the word, or it's too inappropriate?
I mean, it's just not a word we use
anymore.
It's a word that people use in like the 80s and 90s,
like
and they
bird
wouldn't
brain?
Use it nowadays.
Oh, like it's
it was like it was worse than Bird Brain. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So, how about this? I like 3, 6, 9, but could we also vow that if it doesn't come up on its own volition, then we should just do it and put it into the feed?
Okay,
yeah, I mean,
fine.
Yeah, I mean, I think you've sort of broken the mold a bit with your Leprechaun 3 stuff, right? That like you can do seasonal podcasts that don't necessarily stick to the numerical canon.
What if
it doesn't come up on 3, 6, or 9? Should it be the December 26th episode? Like that weekend, the one right after Christmas?
Let's see. I guess.
I don't know what day of the week Christmas is, honestly.
Yeah, neither do I. So it is going to be a Friday this year.
Ooh, Friday Christmas.
Yeah. Okay. So, then we don't have to record anything that holiday weekend. Okay. All right. So then if it does, whatever comes up on the wheel, if it does not come up in the 9 spots on the 19th and 20th episode, then we will just put it in that spot and it will not be considered a numerically canonical episode of Robin and Akiva Need a Podcast.
Right. Okay. Unless the Renatbot responds to you. Oh, you misspelled Renatbot. You're never going to get a response.
Oh, no.
You put an extra O for Renatbot there.
What did I do? I did
you wrote Renopebot. It's an O.
All right. Well, I'm trying to multitask
I think that's a 40 slip on Rob's part. I think that shows his reaction to the Renatbot. He just nopes it.
Yeah. We'll see if Renopebot ends up responding to me.
Is that Randy Newple?
Yeah. Randy Newple. How many spots? Should I just like, can you just give me a number?
Yeah, give me a number. Yeah. Give me a number. That's fine.
Give me a number from 1 to 1 million.
Okay, you're testing the limits of the wheel thing.
I mean, a million spots on the wheel.
I didn't realize I could go up that because I thought the thing with Dr. Mike, I forgot if you could get 69 spots on
it. I think it's like 100 is the max, did we say, or something? I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, let's see if we come back to this.
Mm-hmm. All right. So let me put in a suggestion here now that the trek is through.
Hold on. So speaking of the trek, what is the name of that Star Trek podcast?
I think we could do like Robin and Akiva Get Trekked or something like that.
And what are we watching one particular episode? How is that working?
No, again, so I think what Jess and I can arrange like a whole potpourri of things. Like we can play games like what famous actors have appeared in Star Trek episodes, if you will. We can talk about like where we think the guys would work on the ship or like what species they might be, and it'll be sort of like a mixture of various Star Trek discussions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Should we watch a random episode?
Yeah.
I mean we can if we feel
we
like
put it like a random number generator so I have so I have some context of. I mean, I did watch one like 5 years ago on the Seinfeld.
Right, but you watched arguably the worst episode.
The worst episode, and I don't remember.
Yeah. The next generation.
Okay. Maybe we'll randomize and watch a random episode of Star Trek.
I'd also like to work in like discussions about like bathroom breaks on the Enterprise in terms of shifts and stuff like that. If that was possible,
said shifts. It sounds like you have to use the bathroom breaks.
Yeah. I feel like that stuff is I really would love to talk about like the mundane of like life aboard any of the starships. But I don't know if this was in response to me, but the Renatbot said seeds, baby, to somebody.
Yeah, either Netbot really is not going to come up with a number.
This was your idea.
Okay, so all right, Amanda said he needs a number buddy, and the Netbot responded 5678.
Well, now great job, Robbie. Which is made the pretty Netbot similar start dancing
to
right now.
Pretty similar to Mike's idea, just a little more spots this week, but.
Okay.
I think. What do you think? Do we do that? Is that
all right? But it's at 5678, so that's fine. But do we know if is somebody controlling this? I feel like that was a little on the nose.
No, I don't think Amanda knows what we're asking.
Yeah, I'm surprised. So I feel like the Renatbot tends to use vernacular and gifs, especially from previous Renat discussions. I don't think you guys have nary done like a dance discussion that elicits a 5678 out of it.
All right, fine. Mm-hmm. Five spots on the wheel for Star Wars Holiday Special for next week.
Okay. Well, in 2 weeks, right? It's not on the wheel this week.
What? You're putting
it.
How could that
we
be?
Said that. We said that.
For Star Wars Holiday Special?
I'm mixing up
Star Wars Holiday Special.
Sorry.
Give it five spots. Star Trek.
Sorry, I'm mixing up Star Wars
and
Star Trek. Wait a second. All right. I apologize.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
We can beam up Star Trek for right now.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So, all right. We'll engage that. Okay.
Exactly. Make it so. So I want to suggest now that the sequel mechanism has been sort of reinvigorated, I want to suggest something that was tweeted all the way back in August from the great Jocelyn at Jocely. So Jocelyn, people might remember, was actually the person behind my first Renap appearance, which was the Brant Steele the three of us did. Actually, this time, like 2 years ago, I think it was, of this is TVInsider.com's list of the best TV characters. We put them in a Survivor season. Larry David played the greatest Survivor game that I have ever seen.
Yeah, that's great.
And so Jocelyn has suggested, we went back to the well of the creator, has suggested a sequel using a list from the same website of the 47 most unlikable TV characters of all time.
Okay, should we look at the list?
Yeah, so I can read off some highlights here for you. Mm-hmm. Just some perusing. So we've got actually a really nice, fun murderers row here. Some literal murderers, actually. Starting with Joffrey Baratheon. We have Pete Campbell from Mad Men. Ted Mosby from How I Met Your Mother, Rory Gilmore, Dawn Summers from Buffy.
Rory Gilmore's in the worst 47 with a bunch of murders?
Well, I think it's unlikable, not necessarily like worse, like we hate them, more so unlikable, like either they're badly written or they did bad stuff.
Second time Ted Mosby has come up on the podcast in the month of November.
Yeah.
So we also have Dawson Leary from when you guys talked to Dawson's Creek. Ross.
I like friend. Dawson more than Pacey. This is crazy, this list.
Sheldon Cooper's in here. Screech from Saved by the Bell. Scrappy Doo, of course. Kimmy Gibbler, the world's worst annoying neighbor. Eric Foreman from That 70s Show.
Well, Eric Foreman is not that annoying.
But Akiva, I think this might get you hook, line, and sinker. On this list, Fraser Crane.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, he belongs there for sure, Frasier.
We have Angelica Pickles from Rugrats, Miranda from Sex and the City, the aforementioned Nikki and Paolo from Lost,
George Vampire Costanza, Bill. Akiva.
Yep, George Costanza is in there.
Is in the worst? This list is insane.
Janice Soprano. So I think...
And like, Janice from Friends.
Yeah, no matter how you feel about the list, I think that there is a good crop of characters to pull from here.
Hmm.
Plus, I
think... Since Thanksgiving, Rob, what did Janice's boyfriend do during Thanksgiving? You remember?
No.
He like fell asleep watching the Lions game.
Okay.
Someone just posted a clip during the Lions game. That's how I remember.
I do like that Ollie from Game of Thrones has made the list.
Yeah, exactly. Like this, I think this is really speaking to both
George
of you in particular.
Being on this list, like, really makes me think.
And I do think that other, like, we can sort of reach beyond. We did this for one person, I think, in the best character, Bran Steele. I think we could also reach into our own TV proclivities of, like,
right. And listeners could maybe submit people that they think.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know how you feel about this, but I feel like that. Look, I need Mike Bloom and his Brant Steels in the main Survivor podcast feed.
I hear you. There's no actual Survivor.
Yeah, that I don't think we need to waste a Brant Steel like as a Renap episode.
I mean, to be fair, I do not mind doing 2 in 1 week. You know, I don't mind.
Mike, you have to live your life. Come on.
Rob, I have no life.
Mike, you should be training for this race, Mike. Can I read one other Brant Steele that's a little bit different that a listener had to submit this week? This is from Derek. He says,
yes.
Who I believe helped you with the patron Brant Steele, right?
Yes.
Okay. So Derek says, what about putting 16 to 20 Renap personalities on a Zoom call and adding commentary as their names play Survivor? It could be the follow-up to Stans vs. Ops. You get Kirsten and Allie and Third Wheel Zach and all hit by a car, Claire, and all sorts of different Renap personalities. What do you think about having a live Brant Steele?
Hmm. Well, yeah, we did this with patrons a couple of weeks ago.
Including a friend of Renap, Lindsay Wilson, played in it.
Yes. Akiva, would you want to do this on Renap?
I think it would be fun.
Yeah.
I think it ended up turning out very, very well. And actually, a creator of the Royal Rumble 2.0, Jill, was in it as well. It's if you have very game personalities, I think it can be a very fun time.
My hesitation would be, is it more of a video idea than a podcast though?
For the most part, I've gotten a surprisingly mixed reception as to some people do listen to the Brant Steele's audio only. And so I do think it's not impossible for people to be able to track it,
there would be a video for the people.
Yeah, and we do a good job of usually there's only crosstalk happens at a tribal council where that's you when you bring in the people to talk to. There's very little like peanut gallery sounding off during the regular events of things.
I feel like let's think about this a little bit. And not necessarily do it. Like, I wonder if it would be better with like 12 people, maybe doing like a big brother
season. It doesn't have to be 16. Yeah,
the
16 is what I'm there to.
It's low.
It's a lot of people. 16 is a lot of people for the listener to keep track of also.
And you get Craigslist Carlin is the real question.
Well, we need him on a podcast.
To describe why he voted this person out at the last
tribal council. He's going to sit there for 3 hours on a call with us.
Yeah.
Without, like, you know,
on the bright side, given Alexander Chester's burgeoning love for Survivor, there's a greater chance you can get him on the podcast for certain.
Yeah,
we can get Chester, no question. I don't
like. Imagine this could reignite the Chester Wiggler feud if they have them be captains of opposite tribes.
That's not a bad idea, Chester versus Wiggler. I think we could get Josh for that if Alex is involved. I don't think their feud is dead. I think Josh came on Chester's Curb Your Enthusiasm podcast recently, so I don't think there's a real feud. But yeah, that's not a bad idea for captains. Absolutely. Okay. Yeah, we could think about it. Let's see if people are super excited about that idea.
Yeah, some sort of Renap Brant Steele, whether it be worst characters or Renap personalities. But I wanted to bring him since Jocelyn was the originator of it and the tweets
Jocelyn.
Are about yes, got lost in the ethos over the past few months. I wanted to bring it to the surface. And speaking of that, actually, I wanted to bring up another idea, because I would be remiss if I did not guest on Renap with you two lovely gentlemen and did not bring up how we could possibly make an RAANAP RPG work out somehow.
How would that work?
So there's been so much talk bandied about like Robin and Kiva play D&D, and it's a really fun idea, but I think that D&D
hold
perhaps
on,
might
Kiva,
be...
you okay? Mike said the D words.
I'm fine. Okay.
It was the D and the D.
You didn't say DOA, at least.
Yeah, exactly. Was that the word that RenapBot tweeted out?
No.
Yeah, it was 6 months after it first tweeted. It was DOA.
But I think, you know, D&D can be a lot of fun. But I do think that if you're just looking to do it like over one podcast for like an hour and a half to 2 hours, it might not be conducive. That being said, there are certainly other RPG formats that can be. And I experienced them firsthand. I've done a couple on post-show recaps where myself and Josh Wiggler have done a couple of one-off RPG podcasts that use a different format than D&D that are less complicated. You don't really need to roll dice. It's more so like you guys talk through it, and then we sort of work through how you can make those decisions via dice rolls. I think it is much more conducive to a Renap single session style. And so I want to keep this RPG idea alive, because even though D&D might not be best for this, I do think we can make it work.
Who's making the simulation?
I mean, I don't want to. I can definitely pimp our Philly into it. This guy is our consummate game master when it comes to all our stuff on post-show recaps. He is a brilliant mind when it comes to games, and he knows you guys especially. So I think he could very easily come up with even like a thing that's tweaked for Renap specific, where you guys can have a simple time creating a character, and then we quickly jump into stuff, have a fun time for a couple of hours.
Does he know this show?
I think he knows the show, and he can definitely get caught up on the lore as well.
What do you think, Akiva?
I like our Philly, but this doesn't really speak to me. I'd need a real like pitch. I need to see what it is. To me, the playing pretend, it just doesn't do anything for me. I don't know. Yeah, listen, I'm not saying no, but I'd need a more specific pitch that's structured. I don't know.
I mean, how about this? Could we, if you want to put it in the waiting room?
Yeah,
I'll go to Rich, see, you know, if he has an idea of what he would want to do.
Maybe we could get like one decision point as like a sampler.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. I'm up for that.
But I think that this is a fun idea, and I do think the idea of there might be like a psychological barrier to entry when it comes to your point, Akiva, about like, I don't want to necessarily play pretend. But I think the more you hop into it and the more you get into it, almost from like a Brand Steel perspective, actually, the more you'll surprisingly be amenable to a lot of the stuff that RPGs provide.
Okay. Mike, what was the best from the listeners' tweets? You got dozens of tweets from the listeners.
I did get dozens of tweets here. All right, so I'm going to go from Trek to Shrek here, because I do not think, so I tweeted out here, in all caps, quick, give me the first hashtag Renap mailbag idea that comes to your head. Don't even think about it. I really wanted to like shoot from the hip. Give me the knee-jerk reactions here. I do not think that this is admittedly a impulsive tweet from Shut Up Tim, because he has this idea brewing for a while. But I wanted to bring it up while I'm on the podcast here, because let's go from Trek to Shrek. Robin and Kiva become Shrek-sperts. They reach into a Shrek cookie jar provided by him and pull out one of the Shrek-related properties and cover it, which spans 6 movies, 1 musical, 10 shorts, 5 TV episodes, and basically talk all things Shrek as he gets you caught up on just how much of a meme-worthy community the Shrek fans are.
The meme? It's a meme-worthy community?
I mean, I feel like millennials have really fallen in love with Shrek in many ways, whether it's mention of All-Star. I don't even want to go down the dark and dirty rabbit hole that is Sonic X Shrek fan fiction / art. There's just a
Sonic
lot of-
X Shrek? That's Sonic versus Shrek?
Oh, no, quite the opposite.
Sonic times Shrek?
Sonic bumping uglies with Shrek is more so what it
Sonic
is.
Has sex with Shrek?
Sonic has sex with Shrek and occasionally gets pregnant. Has become
what?
Like
what? Mike, how do you know about this?
Listen, I'm on the beat of internet.
Rob, are you searching this? Mike, are you searching this stuff on incognito mode?
Okay. Yeah, I mean,
Akeem, have you ever heard of this?
No, of course not. Please.
Listen, you could search it literally
right
now. I don't know. And that's why the internet exists. Like, sometimes it is for the lulz. That sort of is what the millennial slash Gen Z culture is about. You will see if you Google this.
Does Princess Fiona know about this?
I mean, I would assume maybe it sort of is like an open marriage type of thing. Who knows? Maybe Shrek is a Thomas Middleditch
type. I mean, if you told me it was
type.
Shrek and Donkey, I could see that. But where does Sonic the Hedgehog come into this?
I mean, Sonic himself, like I think maybe it was sort of done for the randoms at first, and then it just sort of kept snowballing from there to the point now where it has become, well, that's maybe one of the moves that they do, but to the point where it has become its whole thing, where there's fan fiction about it, there are heaps and heaps of drawings. So yeah, for many different reasons, Shrek has made his way into
this isn't
the
what Frail Mary has been busy working on, right?
Be careful what you wish for. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. Such a weird pair. I don't even see them together.
I mean, maybe it's one of those things like opposites attract, you know, a big green ogre and a small blue
hedgehog.
Seems
like a big lumbering oaf, and Sonic is like fast.
I mean, you'd have to assume like one is the big spoon, one the little spoon, right?
Unless who is who?
I mean, I think the size differential makes it obvious. Like, I don't think Shrek really needs some care, but I don't think Sonic has like twig arms. I don't think he's really going to caress anybody anytime soon.
Jeez, where are we? What happened?
But yeah, so suffice to say, I don't think I don't think Tim's going to go down that rabbit hole, but it's Shut Up Tim, so I would not put it past
I don't think he's going to go down the fan fiction of Sonic sleeping with Shrek.
You don't know that.
I don't know that.
I mean, he's had worse ideas before. Do I need to remind you of Final 4 Minutes?
It's true. Going to say, I think the Masked Swinger actually might be Shrek's marriage arrangement.
Boy.
Yeah, Tim tweets about Shrek 20 times a day. I mean, this is a genuine love. He more so than even, you know, Brett and everyone last week liked the Spice Girls, or more than the real weird sisters like Harry Potter.
Right, and so I guess it
Tim's
would be
the love
style.
Of Shrek.
Yeah, it's like you guys. It's actually almost Shrek-y like the what you guys did last week. Where like I'm assuming you'll watch a piece of Shrek pop culture, you'll talk about it, and then Tim will sort of talk about the Shrekiverse at large, whether or not that includes Sonic stemmed fan fiction as a result of that.
I suspect not.
I don't know. Could be.
Wait, I mean, are there?
Do you
other...
like Shrek, Rob? Have you ever shown your kids Shrek?
Yeah, we've watched it. Shrek is fine. I feel like that we.
I mean, listen, Sean and Sonic will say the same thing. Shrek is fine.
Mm-hmm. Mike, are there other parents? Is this like the first of many Sonic and Shrek? Like, who else is together that we should know about?
Yeah, I mean, let me see what else the hot goss is.
Like
I think
Donald
SpongeBob,
Duck
I think
and Count Chocula? Like, what are these other pairings?
I do think SpongeBob gets in there sometimes.
With who?
I can see SpongeBob involved.
With them, and they sort of become a throuple.
Hmm. I see him more with Sonic.
Yeah. I'm going to have to look this up. Popular fan fiction pairings. Because, yeah, the Sonic and Shrek one is the one that I have seen the most amount of times as, like, cross-franchise. Otherwise,
like, where do you see this? Like, where do you go when you see this?
I'm on Twitter all day. I've never seen it.
Is this, like, on Pinterest more?
Oh, yeah. I've seen some on Pinterest. I've seen some on DeviantArt, of course, fanfiction.net. I mean, if you go to knowyourmeme.com, which is sort of like the hub of where memes go to, that's where I usually go to if I don't know exactly what the kids are into. That's usually where that's where I found out about really the Shrek x Sonic stuff.
Yeah. Okay. Hmm. So, all right. Akiva, what's your level of interest on Shrek properties?
I think my level of interest on Shrek is like a 5 out of 10. I do like the idea that Tim is like obsessed with it, but I'm definitely happy to let you take the lead on this idea, whether mm-hmm. you like it or don't like it. I will, if you say we will never do this, it will not affect my life. Look, if you're like, this is my favorite idea ever, I'd be like, okay, that's fine too.
I mean, are we ending the podcast soon?
I don't think so.
No, we're going to run out of ideas. I'm fine with Shrek. I mean, do we want to get like a little bit more structure around it? Do you want to send it to the waiting room?
Yeah, we can have a little more structure. Yeah, Tim, structure? We can put it in the waiting room. But yeah, a little more structure.
I mean,
we have like the wheel is insane right now, I think also.
I really enjoyed the first Shrek movie. The sequels, I feel like, get old quickly. Like, I feel like there's not... Not
interesting. The popular consensus, I believe, is that Shrek 2 is better than the original.
Oh, I haven't heard that.
Well, among the Shrek super fans, yeah, that is the popular.
Yeah, I mean, among, like, it's really The Godfather, Star Wars, and Shrek are the big three of second movie is better than the first one.
Absolutely.
Okay. Puss in Boots, not interested in. And, you know, and I just, you know, I don't know if there's a, lot there, but I also saw Shrek the Musical. I saw that. Yeah. I saw that.
I think that could be that's a bit of like Uncanny Valley as well, with like putting poor Brian D'Arcy James in this huge makeup that he has to wear the entire time.
Yeah. I saw it at the Pantages Theater, and I saw a high school production of it before the shutdown. Right.
Oh boy. Well,
that might have been a super spreader event, Rob.
It might have been. Musical. I was not comfortable there, like on March 8th at a high school auditorium.
It's weird to think now.
Yeah,
it's weird to think now, like what the super spreader events probably were.
I mean, it's weird to think, like, if civilization had collapsed in those months since, you would think, like, that's the last piece of pop culture I ever enjoyed.
You'll ever consume. Yeah, like the last show you're ever going to go to.
Yeah.
Shrek the Musical.
Yeah.
The high school version.
Yeah.
But you guys mentioned Lindsay Wilson. I just want to tease something that won't come up for a long time.
Don't tease Lindsay Wilson.
I got an email from Lindsay Wilson and another longtime contributor to the show. And Lindsay, they gave me an idea. I could mention it offline if you're really curious, Rob, but I don't want to spoil it on air.
Yeah.
And they said, we have an idea for basically the next sort of audio documentary in the vein of the Sleepover podcast. It's not about me or you. We will not be characters.
It's an origin story about this. Shrek and Sonic.
No, not exactly. Although maybe that could be your third thing. It doesn't really seem like
maybe you guys
could
do the voices of Shrek and Sonic.
But, you know, we could sort of comment on it. It's a little bit more of a mystery. So maybe we'd break in a few times during the documentary and think, you know, guess who did it.
Okay.
Yeah, and I said it's sort of combined with Robin and Akiva Solve a Murder, right? Where you guys can come in eventually and like, okay, are they going to get together, Shrek and Sonic?
I love the idea enough that I greenlit it sight unseen. I like the idea. So we at some point in 2021, there will hopefully be another Lindsay Wilson audio documentary.
Ooh. Well, let me return to the well a bit, actually, for an idea that was also being kicked around a bit. So Albert Vargas sort of followed up on your guys' idea of a table read, which, speaking of something that one of you is warm on and one is not, he says, I like the idea of somebody had about doing a table read. My suggestion is to do a special episode straight out of Saved by the Bell or an 80s sitcom when somebody experiences tough issues. So I guess this begs the question, because I do feel like the RPG, this is sort of like an idea that under the right amount of massaging could turn out to be something good. Do you want your table read to be sincere, or do you want it to be tongue-in-cheek?
So it's like a very special episode of a show?
Right. So I guess the question would be, like, if you want comedy to come from it, would it be that it's like, oh, Rob and Akiva are reading the Jesse is Addicted to Caffeine pills of Saved by the Bell? Or do you want to bring, like, performative legitimacy to it, like the Renat musical, for example?
I really love the Jesse is Addicted to Caffeine pills on Saved by the Bell idea you just pitched.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What do you think about that one, Rob? That's the best episode we've been pitched so far. You like that? We get Eric Stein in there playing Zach Morris.
Plus, you guys can actually, I believe, the girls do perform Let's Get, I'm so excited. I think you get a Seeds Baby together to perform that live on the podcast.
Yeah, what do you think, Rob? We haven't mentioned the table read in a few weeks.
This is just overall, I feel like the idea of like a very special episode are usually like dealing with things like drunk driving. It's like the stuff that's like going to not be as fun to sort of like make fun of, where, you know, a show was trying like in earnest to discuss a serious topic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, caffeine pill addiction is probably okay. I don't know if we'll get, hey, I got addicted to no dose when I was in 11th grade.
When it comes to like very special episodes, this is probably like the most ham-fisted and therefore probably the most you could mock, just because of like the insanity, over-the-top antics of the performances.
Mm-hmm. Look, I'm so thirsty for a table read. I would do anything. If this is going to get Akiva on board, then I'm cool with it.
Are you up for this table? Mike, you just came up with that off the top of your head, or this was an idea you had?
I mean, Albert Vargas came in with a very special episode, but he mentioned Saved by the Bell, but I know that that's always the top of mind. Like, number one answer for Family Feud of very special episodes, usually for me, is the...
I also think we could, like, spend the next couple weeks, like, casting, like, in the mailbag next week. We could go over, like, casting ideas.
Well, who would you be?
I mean, are we going to have two of the three main roles? I guess I could be... I don't mind being Screech, I'll be honest.
Okay.
I would be Screech.
You'd be Screech, and who would I be?
Rob, you have to be Principal Belding in honor of your drag persona.
Mm-hmm. Would you be? Is Belding big in that episode, though? I'd have to think about it. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Is Belding in every episode?
He's in every episode.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's no Casey Kasem in that episode, right? That's a different one with a
You could play two characters also if Casey Kasem.
And I also think you're going to have someone read the stage directions as well. So I don't know if that's something that you guys want to do or if you want to give that to somebody else.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Who would be Jesse Spano? That's like a big showcase.
That's a big role.
I mean, that's really a star role.
We'd have to get some emails written in for that.
But. So.
Maybe, I'm up for that.
Yeah,
I think that would be great.
We could work on casting the table read.
All right.
And then I think once you guys have sort of formulated the cast, then I think you could put it on the wheel and then put the gears in motion there.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. So, all right. Table read talk is getting a little closer to the wheel.
It's edging closer to that table. Here's one from Ariel. Your treasure is trash.
Yes.
The idea comes from Rob in a podcast you and I did a couple of weeks ago. You mentioned that you still have those Survivor Pringles cans that were gifted to you just sort of sitting there in the garage gathering mold like a monkey's fur, basically saying people can share
items.
Did
that come up in the Choose Your Own Adventure?
No, unfortunately not. But people share items they've kept and have a hard time tossing. Rob and Akiva can determine whether this is a treasure or a trash. This is sort of like an antiques roadshow almost, Renap style, where people can come forward and be like, hey, I had this Shrek cookie jar, for example. Do you guys think I should keep it or should I toss
Tim,
it?
No, Tim, we don't.
What if I get him a Sonic Pal?
Oh, boy. So, Akiva, do you think enough people would send us in like, hey, I have, you know, a unopened Kenny Loggins 8-track?
Yeah, I think we would get some. I do think like it's funny. The first five are funny, but then like I don't know if it's a whole episode. You know what I mean? I think we might get bored of it after 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Like if someone wants to send it in, we could talk about it on a future upcoming mailbag. Like here's the 10 dumbest things people sent in.
Hmm.
I don't know.
I mean, if you have some things and you don't know the set, why don't you email us and then we can gauge the response? Hey, like we actually have a lot.
They're
of these.
Incredible. Then it's a whole episode. But maybe it's just like a fun thing to bring up. I don't know. Someone said Robin Akiva solve world peace in your mentions. I don't know about that.
Solve world peace. I didn't know it was a problem.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think that's more so fine world peace. Lita Brillman said a BuzzFeed quiz fest, which could be sort of a spiritual successor to the Cosmo quizzes, where instead it would more so be like the what are you types of BuzzFeed quizzes that have proliferated that site in the past few years.
I mean, I think it could be fun. I don't remember there being an overwhelming response to the Cosmo quizzes.
Yeah,
we found that we had fun. We found out if we were good girl hot or bad girl hot, but I don't remember the audience really saying that they
I'm not against it, but I would also want to hear like a couple of the quizzes first.
Right.
You know what I mean?
I think
here's
BuzzFeed
the three
quizzes,
best quizzes that you guys could take.
We did some BuzzFeed quizzes on the Top Chef podcast one time, and they were pretty fun because they were like, some of them are pretty nonsensical, like choose your dream home and this will inform your favorite food. Like, I think the best BuzzFeed quizzes are the ones where one thing completely connects to a completely different thing. And they're trying to figure out your psychology based on, you know, planning out your day, for example.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right. So here's one from Esther. Best novelty Christmas songs. Let's talk some more about the holiday season. It's tough because I would say ordinarily, like you could do a bracket of holiday songs, but I know you're sort of restricted that to March. Could there be something, though, about dissecting, you know, you're like, all I want for Christmas is yous, or you're Dominic the donkey, not a zebra.
Hmm.
Well, I don't remember. I don't know anything about really novelty Christmas songs, although my daughter keeps singing a song about a hippopotamus on Christmas.
Oh, like, I want a hippopotamus for Christmas.
Yeah, she keeps singing that. I don't know where she heard that song, but she sings it a lot.
What are we doing with these songs once we find them?
I don't know. I mean, you guys could do like a King of the Mats thing where you can create a list if you want to of novelty, you know, holiday songs. You could just discuss the best and the worst if you want to.
Yeah.
But this is what was put out here.
I don't think
what about this
here?
From Sperm Whale Army, Rob? Robin Akiva DM celebrities. Could we make an episode out of that where we just DM celebrities?
Well, don't they need to follow us? How many celebrities have their DMs open?
I don't know. Some you could DM. Like maybe people could give us a list. Like, hey, this celeb has their DMs open.
Well, I think you could put celebrities in quotations.
Yeah, you're a blue check mark. Also, so
you could,
I wonder
if really like
could,
the Masked Singer version of celebrity, right? Of like, oh, we can email this this viral superstar.
What would
I mean,
we say?
maybe like, hey, could you come on our podcast this second? And like whichever celebrity comes on first is the winner.
Well, you know what? Maybe this could be a variation of your Cameo podcast, where instead of paying money to have celebrities answer the questions via Cameo, you can instead do it via DM.
What if we either ask them a very specific question, like Mike is saying, or we say like, hey, we just had a guest canceled. Do you want to come on our podcast for five minutes?
How about this? And let me spin this around. What if we put somebody in charge of DMing questions to the celebrities, and then you and I have to guess the answer to the question?
So they're really going to have to spam celebrities because to get like three answers, they might have to DM 200 celebrities.
Yeah, so we put somebody who wants to be in charge of this.
Yeah.
How about this? Should this be with the Cameo idea? Should we give this to Navi? Who is going to work on the Cameo?
I feel like this is sort of like a sibling of it.
Yeah.
I like this better.
I like Cameo better.
All right, folks, we could do both. Let's do both. What was that commercial?
I think porque no.
No, I think Cameo is better because it's you could hear the voice. I have a question
from Navi and Ben, fifth wheel Navi, who are working on that together.
Yes, okay.
They want to know what is the budget for the Cameos.
See, that's one thing is that there's a little bit of a restriction on that, which is the monetary value, which you don't get on questions.
I just got this message today from Navi. What is the budget?
I mean, I'm already up $20 from Akiva. I would throw that in.
You're playing with house money?
Yeah.
Well, I think the problem is because the $5, when Taylor Cotter was working on this for a second, she said like the $5 celebrities are not worth your while. So you really have to go minimum $10 for everyone.
Yeah. Okay. I would throw $100 at this.
Okay. But should we get someone to work on maybe they could start DMing celebrities now?
Yeah. Maybe it could be part of the same episode.
That's not a bad idea.
I think it's a good idea. Cause I think if you end up not getting a lot of meat on the bone when it comes to the Cameo stuff or the question stuff, if you do both, then I think that could combine to like a worthy enough podcast.
Honestly, if I'm a casual Renap listener and I listen when I like the topic, right?
Yeah.
And that week's topic is Robin Akiva DM celebrities. I think I'm clicking on it.
As opposed to Robin Akiva get cameos?
No, I'm not saying as opposed to anything. I'm just saying that's an above replacement level idea. I think I'm clicking on that. Having nothing to do with cameos. I'm not saying cameos are good or bad. I'm just saying that one I'm clicking on.
In theory, but let's see how many celebrities are responding to these DMs.
Okay.
I mean,
I need someone with like no offense to Sperm Whale Army who suggested this, but they're an egg person. I need someone who looks like
a whale person.
Yeah.
Yeah, they are a whale person. I need someone who looks like a normal person who maybe celebrities would respond to. And if you reach out and you think that's your episode, you know, and you want to spend the next month.
So somebody should write in, I look like a normal person.
Yeah, yeah. I my mom says I'm very normal.
I mean, that could be an entirely different episode.
Who's I'm a good flyer. Who's the most? That's not a bad idea. Who's our most normal listener? Honestly, I like that.
Trying to find like the most like middle.
It's very hard to prove you're normal. It's very hard.
Yeah, but
anybody
I think that would be like writing in probably is not a normal person. I think that once you write in to try to win that contest, I think that you are disqualified from being normal.
Listen, Chappelle, if you're out there and you want to DM 2,000 celebrities,
why Chappelle?
For
why do you think him out of the?
Well, he tweets a lot, so I figured maybe he'll DM a lot too. I don't know.
Do you think he wants to like just shift off some of his?
Yeah, shift to the DMs. I think he'd like that. I think if he's interested, that's his idea. If not, prove you're normal.
He seems like he would want to harass celebrities for
not harassing. It's not harassing.
I think it's more so like you're standing on the Twitter streets and you're sort of like, oh, sir, if I could get a moment of your time,
exactly.
I would love to know, like, in what direction do you eat pizza?
Yeah. Do you like crunchy or creamy peanut butter?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like this idea, though.
Hmm. Okay. I think we all like it. The question is,
we'll have a test run. We'll
Robin Akiva interview The Rock is a great episode of this podcast too.
Yeah, I mean, it's a little bit out of format. Like we're just talking to The Rock. There's no like we're watching season 3, episode 7 of Ballers.
Mm-hmm.
We're watching the movie The Rock.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine if The Rock said yes, and we were like, well, there's this thing called The Wheel, and this episode of The Rock might happen next week. It might happen in 2022.
All right, Rock, 2022. I'm so glad you're on board. You might have to wait.
Yeah,
like,
what would we? I mean, yeah, like how
could
would we
wheel
the
jam The Rock like 10,000 spots?
I mean, would we just talk about his upcoming work, or would we like go
I
back
guess to... he'd be plugging something.
Yeah, I mean, that's
I don't
the thing
know.
Is like, would you have to make it an interview talk about where, like, his childhood? Have to talk about his new project?
What if it was like season 3, episode 7 of Monday Night Raw, and it was like one of the first episodes he was on?
There is a new series coming to NBC called Young Rock.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure
oh, nice.
That season 3, episode 7 of Monday Night Raw is probably from like 1989.
No, I thought Raw started in the 90s. It didn't. Maybe I'm wrong.
Young Rock.
I've been very out on the wrestling.
Young Rock is not
know.
A real project, Mike.
No, I mean, I was watching the Thanksgiving Day parade like any law-abiding citizen, and I saw a balloon of
yes,
the main
oh, 90s rock. Yeah.
Of 90s rock okay. with the, and I thought it was like an honest to goodness hoax at first, but it seems like they were advertising a show called Young yeah. Rock coming soon.
Okay. So Monday Night Raw did premiere in 1993. But I do believe that wrestling was on the USA Network from, like, I don't know what it was called before then.
Ah, okay. Yeah, I don't know the name, but yeah, it was definitely on before that. That I agree with. Is there anything else, Mike?
Here's a slam dunk idea from Deshaun W. Rob and Akiva identify bird species.
No.
No.
Is he listening in?
I was going to say, like, it was actually very fortuitous timing. Let me come in with another suggestion from my own archives, because this is also sort of like a piggyback suggestion from something from DJ LaBelle Klein. And I know that you guys are pretty well up on game shows, but he sort of co-opted a game for the B&B that we did during Bigger Brother. There's a Meredith Vieira game show. She's no longer doing Millionaire, but she's doing a game show called 25 Words or Less, which is actually Password combined with actually what you guys were talking about last week, with sort of like the I can do it in this amount of time, I can do it in this amount of time, where essentially both people are given a list of words.
Oh yeah, what happened to that? Did that get put on the wheel?
What the no, I think you guys just were talking about the idea and it never happened.
It never happened. What was that called? Our like name that tune idea?
Yeah, this idea of like, oh, I can like a categories game almost. Yeah. But I think that sort of takes this format and tweaks it a little bit, where like you guys are given a list of words and there's like a third party. Let's say I'm the third party. And Rob, you take a look at the words and you say, I think I could get Mike to guess all 5 of these words in 12 words. Mm-hmm. And Akiva responds, I can do it in 10. And then you go back and forth until
we talked about this. I will put it on the wheel waiting room as Rob and Akiva are one uppers.
That's what it is. Yeah.
But it did not go on the wheel? What was the problem?
No, we need someone to host it. You know, I didn't. I think, no. What we said last
week,
I think. Yeah, I mean, he's available, right?
I mean, if he's coming on anyway.
What about Young Rock? Is 1990s version of The Rock available?
I think we could just make a form. I mean, it's easy to find a host. I think we could make a form there for this week and do Robin Akiva one-uppers. Do you like this Meredith Vieira spin better, or do you like the original idea?
I think it's getting a little complicated.
Yeah, I agree. It's a little tricky. I think one-uppers.
Yeah, I figured I'd put it out there because DJ LaBelle Klein created a Big Brother version for the B&B that was very fun. So I think that, you know, if jonesing for a version of that combines, you know, Password with that sort of mind frame of game, that sort of was the way to go. Mm-hmm. But I also think, to your point, that the one-uppers categories game could also be very fun.
All right, so are we putting one-uppers on the wheel, or are we waiting for somebody to
one week. I'm gonna remember to do, I'm gonna make a note right now to actually deal with that this week.
Okay. All right.
One other thing that we could put on the wheel we discussed last week. We wondered why Am I the A-Hole, which Puya had been handling with the form, was not on the wheel nor in the wheel waiting room, and it was just the rare thing that fell through the cracks of both.
Oh.
So I think it was one of those things where like we just need one more week because me and Puya had worked on the form.
AITA.
So that is ready to go on the wheel now.
Put it on there.
All right, there we go.
Huge, I think.
All right,
so this is a big week for putting things in the wheel and in the waiting room too.
It's a huge wheel.
Okay.
Here's another one actually. So the great Sam Moore wrote, I don't know if this was jokingly or not. Well, Rob and Akiva quit their jobs, which would have been very inappropriate given Keeve's recent employment, but hit by a car, Claire, who might be playing in a brand steel sooner or later, responded, counterpoint, Rob and Akiva take high school career aptitude tests and find new jobs.
I just think that the test-taking part of it would be boring.
Yeah, and even if it's like, oh, Akiva, you should be in...
A plumber.
You should work in a factory. Like, oh, well, okay.
What about something, could there be an idea, because you talked about like Robin and Akiva go to college last week, I think. Could there be something of like Robin and Akiva go to high school? where, you know, people, maybe even current high schoolers, come on and like talk you through like, what clique would you be in? You know, like what dance would you arrange? And then maybe what career, you know, your guidance counselor would put you onto.
Hmm.
I don't want to talk to any. I mean, I already have a high school in this house.
I was going to say, you could refer to the kids.
Why does Sam want us to quit our jobs? What does Sam think his job is?
Yeah, I think that would not be good career advice for Sam.
It would be bad. Yeah, it would be, unless Sam thinks then it becomes like he just gets promoted to being you. I don't know what his plan is there.
Yeah, I don't know. Hmm.
But why do you want me to quit?
I mean, the idea of talking to a high school student is fun.
Not really. You talk to them every day. It's mostly like, I hate you.
Well, I think it's a very specific situation. I don't think all high schoolers are going to come on and say, I hate you.
Yeah. Do they want advice from us? Could we mentor a high schooler?
Oh, that would be fun to have a mentor. Mentee.
Oh, that would actually be interesting, I think.
What if like, the mentor-mentee relationship?
This could be like, actually, you know what? Could this be Robin and Akiva, our guidance counselors, instead of you get guidance counselors?
Oh, I like that.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, we need to find a high schooler. Maddie's okay. Maddie's not in high school yet.
But like high schoolers are like, okay, well, where should I like? Should I go away to college? What should I do with like? If there are young people that want us to counsel them,
sure.
Yeah, I think this could be, or even just like advice of like, you know, my friends keep playing this game that I don't want to. Like,
let me ask you a question about this. Okay. Is this inappropriate for like a youngster to come on and sort of like talk about their concerns about life? And this is a podcast.
What do you mean?
Like, is that inappropriate to then like air a young person's concerns on the show?
I mean, they could write it in if they want to. I wasn't sure what you meant by inappropriate. I don't know if like someone's gonna be like, I can't stop
maybe they
J-O-ing.
Be on the line. Maybe they could write in.
Yeah, I think you could very easily have people write it in. Therefore, they are submitting themselves. They can choose to be anonymous if they want to.
What do you think?
Yeah, let's find the high schoolers, right, and I have no problem doing this.
Let's see. Okay, Renap at robiswebsite.com.
Yeah, I think you could very easily find some youngsters who are into this. I think also you're looking to connect with the younger generations. This might work both ways as well, where you're finding out like what the younger generations are concerned with as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We won't talk about Sonic the Hedgehog.
Exactly. And I'll also give a shout out to Josh Abbott, who just replied to the tweet in all caps, egg on the shoe.
What does that mean?
Egg on the shoe.
I don't know.
What does that mean?
It could be a Renap thing where we're trying to decode it, or it could just be lols for the sake of lols, but I figured I would put that out there because that is definitely the most creative suggestion I've heard today is egg on the shoe.
Okay.
I'm missing the reference.
Yeah. Akiva couldn't even explain how shoes work to an alien.
Probably not. I mean, I've never seen an alien wear shoes, honestly.
I don't think they need to.
I feel like they have space boots.
I feel like they might be able to like condition their feet depending on their technology to like any sort of surroundings that like they don't necessarily need shoes. You know, they're like the peasants of yore. Like, I don't know how much, like, glass there is on a spaceship, you know, broken glass everywhere.
I don't know. I feel like there's a lot of broken glass, like, in Star Trek episodes.
I don't think so. And if it is, I think it's more like that sugar glass. Like, I would expect, maybe we can talk about this and Robin and Akiva get tracked as to, like, the more banalities of, like, do you think there is actual glass or is there, like, new futuristic glass that doesn't, you know, cut you when you pick it up?
I don't know, but they can't seem to figure out how to not make people die every time, like, from, like, exploding computers every time something goes wrong with the ship. So I feel like that they have not yet figured out how to make the ship safe.
I mean, one thing at a time, right? You have to perfect interstellar travel, and then you can figure out how to not make computers explode, or one matter at a time.
People just would be like sitting at their desk, like, like just get blown out of their chair.
And I do have a couple of suggestions for the crappy movie diaper, though I don't know how full up you are of that. The Toxic Avenger, which I'm not sure if you guys are familiar with.
Too gross. I don't want to talk about Toxic Avenger.
I think it's about a nerd who gets like becomes a superhero when he gets infected with like radioactive waste and he like looks physically deformed but is like a big superhero.
Yeah. No, I don't want it. It's too gross.
Yeah.
How about
the crab movie too much slime?
Pretty packed also. Can we take UB Halloween out of the crab movie diaper? Sure. I'm looking at take it right now. It doesn't need there. Remind me next year.
Would you want to add a crappy holiday film?
Well, what is it?
Yeah, if we have one, sure.
I don't know.
I won't say Home Alone 2. That's a classic.
I would have said Eight Crazy Nights, but I think you guys like got all your Sandler Jimmies out during talking about
I don't think it's interesting either. I think it's just like bad.
It's really annoying, and I don't think there would be much to talk about other than like the Sandler stuff you guys already litigated through.
We got Weekend of Bernie's 2 in there. I'm excited about that.
You were excited about that.
Yeah, that's fun.
Yeah.
What about Rock and Roll High School, which apparently is a 1979 film that features the Ramones in starring roles as themselves?
Yeah, I'm out if it's before 83.
Yeah.
If it's before I was born, there's no chance. Anything that before 1990 to me doesn't count.
except for Super Bowls, right.
I mean, the Jets never won a Super Bowl in my lifetime. They've never won one because it happened before 90. Same thing with the Mets.
I mean, this is literally solipsism, is you believing that like things do not exist outside of my lifetime. Therefore,
I thought it's like egocentrism. Like, if I didn't see it, if it didn't happen to me, I don't care.
All right.
Hey, Rob, you want to spin the wheel?
Sure. Let's take a look at the wheel. Mike, anything else?
I don't think so. I'm looking up some crappy holiday movies, but nothing really is sticking out.
Next week, also. You had some very good ideas, Mike. Right. I appreciate
it. Great job going through everything, Mike. All right, let's talk about what is on the wheel. Season 3, Episode 7 had some close calls with being in the mix for the People's Choice, but People's Choice Award winner Mike Bloom is going to put a stop to that. Nice try, Season 3, Episode 7.
Not hold up,
on Mike's
bro.
Watch. Yeah. All right. Mike, what fictional character do you think that the kids might be writing fan fiction about you being X'd with?
Ooh, probably Puya. The race of their lives. Yeah. They can help but run down each other's hearts.
Yeah, who's the Sonic and who's the Shrek?
Yeah, that's really, I think that's the biggest question. I think it is the next thing. In Puya and I's fan fiction relationship, who's the Sonic and who's the Shrek? I guess whoever wins the race has to be the Sonic, and by default, the other one's the Shrek.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Coin flip, the crappy movie diaper. People's Choice, is that eligible, Akiva?
I think so. I don't know. It's up to you.
Let chaos reign. I think it should be a choice.
Let me just go over very briefly the Supreme Court's rulings.
Yeah.
You can, People's Choice of People's Choice, they said, you cannot have the same idea on the wheel twice. That was the crux of their ruling, which I think is accurate.
So does that mean twice as in like within concentric circles of People's Choice?
Yeah, you can't have two a poll and two options be People's Choice. Two options be you know, The Price is Right, let's say.
I think the court has made a mistake, but I'll abide by it. What are they going to do?
And by the way, when I thought we had previously People's Choice, the People's Choice, if you could bear with me for a second, that was actually, we were people choosing a double shot, if you remember.
Right.
That's why we had two polls in a week, Rob.
Mm-hmm.
Because one of the options was basically double shot on the wheel, and then it was like, okay, that initiated two episodes, the first of which was a People's Choice.
Yes.
And I do believe that actually that was the double shot was the escape room that led into the People's Choice, which was the Brain Steal.
Okay. The Price is Right. Rob and Akiva have a PR firm. We tried to help out Choose Your Own Adventure books. We will see.
Quicksand.
Yeah, I forgot to ask my kids if they know about quicksand, but I think they do.
Should we put an idea in quicksand? Like, if it doesn't get picked in 2 months, it's off forever. One idea goes in quicksand.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, I like that idea. Like, give it like a ticking time bomb almost in the computer.
What about like Robin and Akiva have a PR firm? That's in quicksand. If it doesn't come up by the end of January, it's dead for a year.
Okay. All right. So that's an
I would say let's read through the wheel first, and I think
we'll see what else. Maybe something else.
How about this? What every week we have to pick an idea that's in quicksand, where if it doesn't come up, then it has 2 months to come up or it's gone.
But then that's going to be the whole, like, half the wheel will be gone in 2 months, though, Rob.
But things will come up every week.
Yeah, but I'm saying if you have all these episodes now, if you say a new one every week won't be in quicksand, you'll lose five good episodes by the, like, maybe we should only have to do that like once a month is what I'm saying.
First weekend of the month, you guys pick a show to quicksand, and then time's a ticking.
Yeah, but this is the last weekend of the month.
Well, okay, fine. So it's the last weekend of the month for the next month, like now for the December episode.
Fine, but we're gonna pick one today.
Yeah,
we are going to pick one today, correct.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, let's
do
the rest.
We have then The Price is Right. Rob McKee, PR firm. Okay. Shark Week, motion to name change to You Are
a Shark Week. Shark Week.
You Are a Shark Week. Perfect.
Okay. All right. Spinoffs are trash. Rob McKee didn't invent the game show. Renap X, the sequel mechanism. Match Game, Sagittarius season. HGTV shows are trash. Star Trek that is not eligible for next week. Star Wars Holiday Special with 5 spots, and the AITA not eligible for next week's episode.
Yeah, one thing, I spoke to Jenny Autumn and she's a little busy this month, so she asked if the Scorpio season can be removed from the wheel for a little bit
until 2021.
All right. So you tell me when to put it back on.
I'll tell you when to put it back on. And also the sequel mechanism, what is on? Do you remember the episodes that are in the sequel mechanism?
I feel like it's the census. I know it's definitely in there.
Yes, you're right. I just looked it up as I asked. So you're right. And the other one was Hot Take Tournament too.
Okay. All right.
I didn't remember if that mattered. But huge, huge wheel. And
all right. So what do you want to put in quicksand?
I think PR firm, we've batted around for so long. I feel like it's like, let's go already or get out of here. But I'm open to any of these ideas.
Let me see. What else could be eligible for quicksand?
I like this. Quicksand. You have 2 months, Mr. Quicksand.
Yeah, that's been on there for a while.
I don't want to do anything that someone put a lot of work into.
Yeah, what about Rob McKeever invent a game show?
Build it. Okay, fine. That's got 2 months.
Yeah.
It's got 2 months. That's, I'm fine with that.
All right, Mike, you good with that? Robert, can you invent a game show?
And this is also different from the Renap game that is being developed. Very hard work behind the scenes. But I think, yeah, the stuff of like, we're going to create a game show, especially because you guys have become so rife with game shows right now that you don't necessarily feel like you need to create one.
All right,
one.
So if that doesn't...
But I do like the idea. I'm not opposed to it being quicksanded, but like if that comes up next week, I'm also not vetoing it. I think we can make... We can.
So I've made a note of quicksand February 1st.
Perfect.
Okay.
All right. Heart sinking.
Here we go. All right. Don't try to get out. The more you struggle, the faster you'll sink. All right. Episode number 110 next week.
Wow.
Let's see. Let's see what comes up.
Remember, we each have our veto, and it's already December next week.
And it's a good thing it's not quicksanded, Rob Akiva. Have a PR firm.
Oh,
yeah. It got a little nervous. Okay. All right. I'm very excited about this one. I wanted to do this for over 100 episodes of punch up.
This came up very
ideas
early.
Of things that exist and try to bring them back. We touched on it in Millennials Killed It. Dr. Amanda Rabinowitz is back for this one.
I'm not schedule, sure. If she wants to be, I'm
schedule
not against
allowing?
It,
but, sure.
Yeah. Schedule allowing. She's a busy woman.
All right. Rob and Akiva, PR firm, send us your ideas. What are some things?
We'll make a form Friday morning.
Yeah, we'll check make a form. Twitter. And what are some things that could use some help? How could we fix things? Famously, Rob and Akiva brought back bologna when we rebranded it American Salami on the Seinfeld post-show recap.
We changed its life. And I'll say today with quicksand, that's what we do, right? We solved the quicksand mystery.
Mm-hmm.
I would also say that I think you can also put brands in here as well.
Yes,
though I think with the precursor that like it should be, you know, a brand that really is like dead and gone. Like, you could say like AOL. Like, how do you guys revamp AOL as an
Easy.
Example? Not necessarily one that's still around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I have an idea for AOL. I'll save it for next week. But
save
I
it for
have
next
an idea
week.
For AOL.
All right. So this is great. Very excited about all of that. Okay, Akiva, let me give you a quick one. New York Jets.
Fire Adam Gase and then just throw the organization, throw everything into the sun, just blow it up.
Good Santa, move them to whatever the planet was that you guys are trying to go to.
Move them to Portland, or make them the Portland Jets. Make us not caring anymore.
Yeah,
just any big city. The San Antonio.
I don't even
Jets,
live in New York. That's not going to change anything for me.
That won't change anything for you. Yeah, move them to Cancun. I don't know. They're terrible.
Yeah, I don't have season tickets or anything.
Yeah, okay. I do, but there's no such thing anymore. Who cares?
All right. So, Mike Bloom, what's next for you?
So, a lot of stuff going on here as we round out 2020. Of course, Rob, you and I and Jessica Leese are covering The Amazing Race 2 times over. We're nearing the final weeks of that, but we're doing the tar pits every week, and we're doing the proper Amazing Race recaps, also writing about that Parade.com. Over on Post Show Recaps, Josh Wiggler and myself are going down the hatch every week, covering losses. We are rounding the bend. The end of season three is coming, one of the biggest turning points in the show's history. So I'm excited about that.
Huge moment.
And so, as
oh, how about this, Akiva? What about Robin Akiva flash forward? We do the podcast like it's 3 years later.
I love it. I do like that.
Wait a minute. I won't play pretend doing D&D or RPGs, but no, let me simulate myself.
It's a funny idea.
Later.
I don't think we have to do a whole episode. It's just a funny idea.
Yes. We'll play the intro like, yes, that's right. Episode number 287. Robin Akiva need a podcast. Akiva is recovering from hip surgery this week. Akiva, how are you?
Why?
As we all
we'll
know,
find Akiva out. It's a cliffhanger. No. What happened?
He replaced his hips with breadsticks for easier convenience.
Akiva,
hey, Rob, you remember the coronavirus? That was something.
That
right?
was something.
Yeah, too bad it gained sentience and is now walking around.
Akiva, I know you are very busy with your five podcasts and five kids.
What did I add? I lost that bet.
Yeah, he's so in the hole with his money. Meanwhile, Mike Bloom pursuing Olympics in 30-33. With his
an
love
odd
of Puya.
Olympic year. Although I guess this year is going to be an odd number Olympic year, 2021.
Yeah, exactly. They might just keep it and just keep with the convention.
There's no way the Olympics happen, right, Rob? This is going to get canceled, I think.
No, I think they'd still do it.
You think they'll do it?
What month are they supposed to do it?
Late July, early
late August. July. Yeah, even if they had reduced spectators, I think they'll do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think without spectators, it might happen.
Yeah.
Be good for me.
Yeah, and they can cut back on most of these events. Just do the ones people
care about.
So
you're saying get rid of some of the events. That's what your plan is. Like, nah, this doesn't matter. Let's just do like basketball and swimming and gymnastics.
I think that, you know, sort of like, you know, that at college universities, like, okay, like the football program brings in like the money. And then there's like a lot of other stuff that they do because there's, you know, it's nice to have all these different programs. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, figure out what the Olympic events are that make money, and then sort of, you know, everything else is sort of like, you know, let's, you know, we'll come back in 4 years.
What if you're the one guy on Earth who ranks all 336 events? It sounds like that would be bad for you.
Hear me out here, because I know that, again, I was watching the Thanksgiving Day Parade, and they said for Macy's this year, they like spaced him out over different days to not, you know, spread it too much. What if there was something where it became like Olympics year? Where like throughout the year you flew athletes in and you don't just house them in one building for a portion of time.
Yeah.
You're saying like one sport at a time? Is that your idea?
It could be one sport at a time, or it could be like a month and like five events take place and then like just keep forcing that throughout the year.
I like it. I'm there.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
It's fine. And I think the Olympics, you know, that look, we never know what fresh hell is around the corner, but I think that by you know, late summer, I think they could figure out the Olympics.
Amen. All right. All right. Sounds good to me.
Mike, I'm sorry. You were only up here. To down the hatch in your plugs.
Oh, yeah. So we have, of course, as mentioned before, Jessica Lees and I are doing Star Trek Discovery coverage right now. Actually, just past season 3, episode 7 of Star Trek Discovery. And actually, ironically enough, was a sequel to an episode from Star Trek The Next Generation. So it was a season 3, episode 7, and a sequel mechanism all in one.
Oh, what episode of Star Trek The Next Generation was it a sequel to?
It was it's called Unification 3, and it was the spiritual sequel to Unifications Part 1 and 2, where Spock encounters Jean-Luc Picard.
Oh, okay. All right. Interesting.
So be sure to check that out. Of course, Rob, you and I are doing some Survivor talk over the next couple of weeks. We are doing our own Outwit, Outplay, Outlist podcast, which is essentially like Survivor meets King of the Mats, where we take an inane, banal subject from Survivor history and we list them out. In the past, we have done Survivor sponsor moments, and we have done immunity necklaces. And I think we have a very fun one coming up this week as well, as we continue through this Survivor off season into who knows when it'll come back. And we'll do some other stuff in the meantime. And I will also say 2021 is already looking to be a very fun and busy time as well. I have a Keeves load of new projects coming to people's ears, hopefully in January 2021.
When you say a Keeves load,
three. That's my three now is a Keeves load.
Wow.
Sometimes three and a half, depending on how you want to refer to it.
Boy, do you think that Akeev's load will take off?
No, I don't think so. We discussed merch right before we went on the air. I don't think that's going to make one of the
t-shirts. Honey, go downstairs and grab me a Keeves load of oranges. I'm trying to make juice here.
Yeah, by the way, if somebody has an idea for what they want, a potential Renap shirt or hat or merch to say, you know, the ones that we've been suggested the most are plenty of money. What's the other
plenty,
big one?
Plenty of money? Suggested that? That is not a good shirt.
I would 100% wear a shirt that's plenty of money. It's funny. By far, the number one is Forget the Mustard. It's Karate Time.
Mm-hmm. Well, I also think whoever designed the header image for the Renap subreddit, shout out to the Renap subreddit. I think we're on that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I think Keeve's load can maybe be on the back.
No.
Well, depends if the shirt gets a lot of usage.
Yeah. All right. Do you have to set aside Keeve's load?
All right. There you go. All right. So, Akiva, mm-hmm. what's next for you?
I'm doing football talk on 32 Fans. I was not on the Patreon episode this week. It was Chester, Ali Lasher, and Jared Jerome talking Seinfeld. They're going over like every quote from every episode of Seinfeld. NGOG, Ali and I, we had a fun episode this week. You learn maybe the most embarrassing moment of my life happens. Mm. I go over it on New Girl Guy if you listen to it this week. And Robin and Akiva need a podcast next week. We're doing a PR firm. People should check that podcast out. It's fun.
Okay. All right.
At Q26 on Twitter.
Send us your questions. Renap at robhasawebsite.com. We'll be back next week with plenty more fun. Thank you so much for listening. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
I think we really need a podcast, but I'd need your help. Can we finally seal the deal?
I think we do. We need a podcast, but that's not enough. We have nothing if we don't at least have a small idea.
For this weekend, let's just pretend that we know what will be coming up next. Rob and Akiva need a podcast.
I got one more podcast to do.
I bet Mira's happy that I get to do two. I got one more podcast to do.
And I'm just happy that I get to do it with you.
Listen, Akiva, I'm sorry I peeved ya. But you know it's all in good fun. I never expected we'd all be objective. Now this new podcast has begun.
Dude, are you a moron? You think that I'd move on? Leaving was never my plan. You act like an asshat, but of course I'll come back. To fans.
Rob and Akiva need a podcast, and they need your help. Can you make it onto the wheel? Rob and Akiva need a podcast. Yeah, they'll buy or sell your ideas. They'll talk about it till you've gotten your fill. Every weekend, better attend. You can guess what will be coming up next. Rob and Akiva need a
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.